Blog Talk Radio.
In the barbecue world as we know it now, how they've transformed from regular offsets to anywhere from pellet smokers to big green eggs or ceramic smokers. And then, like I said, tonight we're going to talk about the gravity-fed charcoal smoker, the refrigerator style, box style, whatever you want to call it. We'll be talking in depth about them tonight with two of the brightest and newest manufacturers in the country. We also have a little bit of some sad news. Papa Sam, as we all call him, Sam and Diane Logan. As most of y'all know, Diane's been battling pancreatic cancer for the last couple of years, and she kind of took a turn for the worse. She's in the hospital right now, and prognosis is not looking really good. Bubba Q put out on his Facebook and let us know that, you know, we all want to send our prayers and wishes with them and, you know, be with them in this trying time and everything. I know for a fact how it feels. My father and just had a brother-in-law pass away with pancreatic cancer, so we've been there, done that. It's not good, but we wish them the best, and hopefully we'll see them back out on the trail before too long. But we all just want to send our prayers and wishes and everything to their family. And definitely to Papa Sam and Diane, let them know that we're thinking about them. But anyway, on a lighter note, like I said, we're going to be talking about gravity-fed smokers. We had a couple competitions this past week. I'm going to give a shout-out to the Blue Bloods for winning over there in Fulton, Mississippi this past week. Got a perfect 180 on brisket. Just want to congratulate them again. They did a really fine job. They had tough teams over there. So it was great for them to get their grand over there. Also to Mark Breen from Cereal Grillers and to Tuffy Stone for getting a reserve grand up in, I believe it was Maryland this past weekend. Mark, I think it was one of the few times he went solo. and ended up winning a first in ribs, first in pork, and first in brisket, and taking grand champion. And really proud of him, happy for him. I know how it feels to be competing by yourself and have something like that happen. So my hat's off to him and to Tuffy for another reserve grand. We'll be seeing Tuffy and Chickswine Bovine and Curly Tails and several other teams, Smokehouse Mafia. He was a guest on my show. We'll be getting together with them up in Greer this next weekend for the Sweet Relief. We've also got the Pigs and Peaches up in Kennesaw. It's a really big event. It's been sold out for a while. A lot of tough teams up there. I mean, you got Bubba Q, Wiki Q, Georgia Boys, Pit Bulls, Chatham. I mean, I think Chatham's going to Amelia Island. That's another big event down there. A lot of the Florida teams are going to hit Amelia Island. And Chatham Artillery will be down there representing Georgia. Rescue Smirkers, last year's grand champions. They'll be down there. Good to see Robbie and Raymond back out on the tour for a couple times. But anyway, we've got some other special guests that's coming on tonight. But like I said, we'll be talking Gravity Smokers. Now, using these Gravity Smokers, they usually have a chute in them, which is a charcoal chute to load your charcoal in. They have some sort of a bottom to them where you light them in the bottom. Or you can do them with the chimney start or whatever. But the premier charcoal to use in these gravity fed smokers are you want to use some type of lump charcoal, something that burns hot, something that burned for a while, and do really well doing that. But I'm going to let somebody else who's more of an expert with the smokers and the airflows and everything else. He's on the line right now, and it's Tim Thomas from TNT Barbecue, TNT Smokers. And we're going to let him come online and say a big shout-out and talk to him a little bit about these gravity smokers they sell and build and manufacture and design. And he's got a couple new things coming out, too, so we'll put him on the air now. Hello, Tim. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Jim. I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Well, I'm doing good. I'll just let the people know a little bit about y'all's background. If we could, I'd like to get a little bio on you and your team and how you got started in manufacturing these awesome smokers and, a little bit of the engineering design behind them.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I got into barbecue back in probably 2005 into competitions. I've been cooking barbecue a long time. Lived in West Texas for 9 years, learned how to do a lot of beef barbecue out there. I'm originally from Georgia, so, pork's kind of running through your veins, so you had to get back with the pork. I got into competition. I started in the backyard. I went about a year or so in the backyard, did real well, and decided to go into the pro side. And there for a long time, I thought I did good, and, I finished kind of middle of the pack. And the more I did it, the more I learned, and then I started doing well. I have won a grand championship. Finished a lot of first places and just practice. That's what it takes. I got into the cooker business as far as I cooked on a lot of different cookers through the years, from Big Green Eggs to Backwoods to, Stomp's Gravity Feed to just stick burners. And I like the Gravity Feed design, and I like how it works. As in all of us, we like to get a little sleep at night at competitions, so you don't have to worry a whole lot with them. You don't have to stay up and fight them. I build power generation equipment for a living, so I've got engineers on staff that I got together, and I told them I like this concept, and we kind of put together our first design. And what has it changed since the first one? But, it just gets, hopefully better and better and better. And as the more we cook on them and different teams cook on them and we hear feedback, then we'll make changes at that point as well.
Well, there's a lot that goes into these smokers, and I've had mine for about 8 months now, And, you know, another team, Georgia Boys, who y'all sponsor, you know, they kind of gave me the ins and outs of these things. But there's a lot of engineering that's involved in this, especially with airflow and everything. And like you said, up in White County last year, you know, we were going over it a little bit, and you were talking about different airflow and different angles. I mean, just moving your stack 3 or 4 inches just makes a big difference in the heat dispersion throughout the – and, you know, we can go into that a little bit. You know, we you know, us around here in Georgia and stuff, we know y'all are a top-notch team, and the only thing that keeps y'all from getting in the top 25 in the country is just, you know, you have a real job. It kind of gets in the way. So, you know, but I know as competing against you and everything, you're one tough hombre. You and Scott both. Now, Scott, I think, has a little bit more freedom than what you have, according to his barbecue schedule. But you know, like I said, it's not just throwing a box together and doing this and doing that. I mean, y'all went through a lot of trial and tribulation with these smokers. And, you know, y'all are still kind of, you know, you're not really trying to fix stuff. You're just trying to improve on these smokers.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're doing. I'm working on another one at this moment. It's a little different style, but it is still a gravity feed. You know, just wanted to try to do a little bit larger one with the gravity feed on the side instead of the back. And I'm going to cook on it in Kennesaw. We'll have it in Kennesaw this weekend. And it's the first one that that I've done different than the standard box style like you have and the other guys have. So just doing a little experimenting. You know, you're always trying to improve and make things better and hold a little more meat as well.
Well, the thing, too, is putting it on the side. Like, if you like me, you know, you cook off your tailgate of your trailer.
Right.
And sometimes going to that design, it gives you an option of which one that you'd rather have that suits your needs at that particular time. Like, you know, I have to hop off the back of my tailgate, load my box, which is no big deal. But, you know, at this point, you're going to have that box up underneath your tent than having to get down off your tailgate and everything. And, you know, for me, for my application, it would make more sense for me to have a side box. So you can kind of watch a little bit better. And, yeah, I'm 100%. I agree with you 100%. I started off cooking on an offset smoke where most of them, big enough good competition, you have to have another vehicle to tow them. You know, you can't just roll them up in the trailer and stuff. These things are beasts. So, you know, and, yeah, you're up all night feeding that. By the time you get around to turning times, you're half dead. So I've been that route. And like me and you and Scott, you know, sometimes we have to go do these things by ourselves. We take one vehicle, one trailer. We need to be self-contained to enable for us to do this. We, you know, if you got to count on somebody else to help you, you're pretty much screwed. So it gives you flexibility with these smokers because you can roll them in or roll them out. They start off, I guess, anywhere around 700 pounds and, you know, go up to however much, depending on how big it is, however many weight. But,
right. Jim, that's one thing I'm trying to do with the newer one, just looking at different materials, different insulations, trying to get a little weight out of them to make them a little bit lighter. You know, you go real thick steel and real thick insulation, and the time you get said done, you've got a beast that takes almost have to have a winch to winch it up into your trailer. So, you know, with a new design as well that I'm doing or did, you know, I tried to design it where I could still get the efficiency I needed and plus get a little weight out of it.
Well, like I said, a lot of these things, none of these are dead set in stone. I know there's always, you know, if you've got to deal with a reputable and a really good fit maker, they're not going to sit on their idea for 2 or 3 years. The good ones are going to keep improving on what they have. Because no matter what they do, something's going to come along in a year or two. It's going to be a little bit better, make it a little bit better, a little more efficient, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And also, like you said, trying to get weight out of them. Now, you can build a beast that'll give you, you know, even airflow from front to back, side to side. But, you know, for the average person cooking by yourself, you can't wheel it around. You know, there's several well-built ones out there. But, you know, I know with you and Scott, y'all are trying to build, you know, an affordable one also for the average barbecue cook. And I've got two. Y'all gave me one to compete with, and I've got the other one that I use that I cook all my meats on for our sandwich shop and everything. My first one I got from y'all. And there's really not a difference between those two, even though they're probably about a year apart on the manufacturing of them. They both cook very well. I like having a little bit of difference from front to back, just for my bigger pieces of meat. If I really need to get something done, that gives me the option. Whereas if it's so even and I'm running behind, there's really no way I can catch up without lighting the whole thing up, you know, and getting the whole chamber hot. Yeah. So, you know, having that, you know, we put your blade bone towards the back, your money muscle out. I mean, I get a perfect cook from front to back when I do that. Same with my brisket, put the point towards the heat source. And, you know, it's, you know, any given day from 10 to 14 degrees, depending on how hot you're cooking. But I like that feature. You know, I think it, you know, it's like anything else. No matter what pitch you have, you're always going to have, should always have a hot spot and a cold spot, and it's up to you to decide where they're at. And, you know,
you got to learn your pitch, that's for sure. You got to know your pitch.
You know, that's why you do practice cooks. You can put your oven thermometers everywhere. But really and truthfully, if you do a practice, you know, keep practice cooking on it before you compete on it, you'll know that grill inside out, the smoker, and it's not that hard to learn. I mean, I went straight, if I'm not mistaken, and you can back me up on this, I think I got my smoker from you on a Monday or Tuesday. I turned around that Saturday and won Reserve Grand here in Augusta. Had never cooked on one before. And, folks, I'm telling you, this is how easy these things are to cook on. Get your guru, know your spot. Just talking to Don and Bo from Georgia Boys and even talking to you and getting the ins and outs of these things and, you know, some little hints. You know, if you've got any recollection of doing barbecue, you take those, you make mental notes, and you use them. And like I said, you know, my first cook, I got Reserve Grand. My second cook, 3 weeks later, I took Grand at my first FBA. So, you know, that says a lot for these smokers. They are well-built and well-insulated. I think Scott's on the line, too, if he wants to chime in.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. You there, Scott?
Oh, yeah, I've been listening. I didn't know if I was on or not because you kept talking, but I'm listening.
I clicked on you, so you can speak anytime you want to. But yeah, we're just going over, you know, these awesome smokers y'all built. And now I am sponsored by Royal Oak Charcoal, and so I get the best of the best in my opinion. Scott had been using another brand of charcoal, and I've given him a couple bags to try, and I think I created a monster. But you know, same way with the Georgia Boys. You know, Scott, in your opinion, do you notice any, I know everybody likes, really needs to use lump charcoal in a lot of these gravity-fed smokers, just for the heat retention, the local ash. How do you like the Royal Oak, was it Chef's Choice I give you? How do you like that competing with something else as far as, you know, like Cowboy brand or whatever?
Well, I actually used the Royal Oak Chef's Choice this weekend in Fulton, Mississippi. Tim and I went out, and he got some shot for me. And I said, throw a bag of that in there, we'll try it. And I guess results speak for themselves. We had a 180 brisket, and we cooked on that Royal Oak Chef's Choice. So it's actually the first time I've cooked on it since you gave it to me.
Well, you know, us and the Georgia Boys, like, of course, Pit Bulls uses it and a few other teams. And I really like the, I don't know about you, but I don't get a whole lot of ash from the charcoal itself. You know, I know the smoker that you cook on is a little bit different than what we do. Yours is more of a water smoker, which y'all build also. But
I ran the lump through there. I didn't. I wasn't crazy about the lump of any kind, and I briquettes just do better in that water cooker because of the amount of wood and what we use. I just like the briquettes better, but I've heard about the ash on the lump as opposed to what y'all are using. And I'm thinking Tim still uses briquettes, and I don't think he has an ash problem.
Well, go ahead, Tim.
I said, yeah, I still use briquettes in mine. I've tried the lump and several different brands, and the lump's a good charcoal. It does. It is low ash. It's it tends to, you know, burn a little hotter than the briquettes do, You know, I guess it's what you get used to. I've been using the briquettes now since I've been cooking on the gravities, and I've kind of stuck with them. So I've used Volo briquettes and a few other brands, and they're good charcoal. I always try to look for the 100% all-natural charcoal.
Yeah, well, I know the Rollo that I was giving Scott and some other people, you know, some people just dead set on the regular lump. My biggest deal with regular lump is there's a lot more chance for bridging that be caused in these offsets and these gravity-fed smokers. You got a higher chance of bridging, especially if you try to pack it in there. It's not going to work. But number two is I think with the weight of these briquettes that are lump briquettes from Royal Oak, I think the weight of those help with the gravity of the charcoal as it's going down to the burn grate. I think it does look better. I've noticed that the bigger the lump briquette is, the better it, and basically it filters through the grate a lot better than the smaller ones or even the regular lump, because the regular lump is really not that dense. And I think, like Scott said, I just think the lump that's in the briquette just gives you better flow and a better heating because it's more consistent than the regular lump. So, you know, that's why we use what we use. I don't ever have to worry about it bridging, and I know my heat source is going to be there.
So you're using lump all the time?
Yeah, but the briquettes that I gave you are lump. It's lump charcoal in a briquette form. What they do is they grind it down. They use like some type of corn oil or something like that to kind of and plus compression to compress it. So your Chef's Choice and your Ultra 100 from Royal Oak is actually it's lump charcoal, but it's in briquette form. They take that lump and they grind it down and compress it, and that's what you get. The Ultra 100 is just a smaller lump than what the Chef's Choice is. So Chef's Choice, you know, it's a very dense. I mean, when you figure it, that looks like it'd be a very big bag, but it's got a lot of weight to it. So my opinion, I think, you know, like I said, with lump charcoal too, regular lump is so light and airy, you know, so many air gaps in there that when I fill it up, when I get up at 3 o'clock to check my grate or whatever, you know, I have to fill it up again. With that lump charcoal, the briquette, I put like 12, 14 pounds in it, and I'm good to go to whole cook.
That's great. I mean, I didn't know how much charcoal you used, but 12 to 14 pounds, does that fill your chute all the way up?
It probably gets about 6 or 8 inches from the top. But see, I cook a lot slower than y'all. You know, Scott anyway. Scott, you know, it's about 30 minutes on his brisket and he's done. But I start off about 9 o'clock at night at, you know, 220, 225, and I'll take the 330, and that's, you know, when I'm usually wrapping. I'm just very low and slow on my bigger meats. I've done a little bit better doing that. I've calmed down a little bit from last year, but I'll pull them off around 8 o'clock, and, you know, that's how my timeline works. The good thing about having the TNT is you know, if it's not quite done, I've got enough room on that thing, even with just 3 racks, and I've got enough room on that thing just to slide them over and, you know, keep on cooking. So, you know, the way it's set up, we get 2 full pans on there is really, really good. And just the depth and the width of it is just really good to get, you know, so many racks of ribs and, you know, your chicken pans on or whatever you do. But how much charcoal usually goes through, Scott?
I usually start my cook with 30 pounds in the morning. I use 30 pounds of charcoal and about a quart of lighter fluid. It's kind of like instant heat.
So you like the big inferno?
Exactly.
So now I know Tim, he's a little bit softer than what you are. What's your kind of your, you know, general process of cooking as far as heat-wise and stuff?
I like to maintain 350 to 375 when I start out. We normally fire up around 5 o'clock. And if I can keep my heat between 350 and 375 up until about 9 o'clock, and then I'll tone it down some for ribs and chicken.
Yeah. Now, how long does it usually take you to cook your butts and your brisket?
If we're cooking an 18 to 20 pounder, it's usually if we put it on at 5:15, 5:30, which is normal, it's usually off by 8:30, 9 o'clock.
And so you got about a three and a half hour cook.
Exactly, and our butts are right in there with it. Sometimes they're just ahead of it, sometimes they're just behind it. So it's all right in there together.
Okay. So now Tim, how do you usually do yours?
Well, you know, I've mainly been doing low and slow. I've done Scott's method a couple of times, and you know, did very well with it. It's it turned out a good product as well. On my gravity feed, I mean, I light my pit around 9 o'clock. I usually put my meat on around 10, and then I'll wrap anywhere from 4 to 5. It's according to the color I get on my meat that I want. And then once I get the color I want, then I'll wrap and finish the cook. So, you know, I'm pulling meat off anywhere from 9 to 10, you know, right in that range. You know, it's according to how the meat cooks. As you all know, each piece of meat accepts heat different, so it cooks different. So that's kind of like it is. And then once I get normally I'll pull the meat stall. All my meat are done in the Cambro by the time the ribs and chicken go on. Then I'll crank it up to about 275 and run chicken and ribs at that temperature.
Yeah, now you're not too far off what I usually cook. And I know with us, you know, especially with brisket, sometimes they get around that 140 range, you know, plateau for a little while.
Right.
I think Scott's taking that play out of the book right there.
Right.
It's got no chance to plateau. So, you know, because he is cooking it hot and fast and everything. Now, what's y'all's rating on these? You'll say, for instance, I know y'all make a water smoker, but say, for instance, on a TNT, what's your recommendation on cooking those? I know you've got, you know, was it 12-gauge steel inside and 14 on the outside? Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, sir. Yeah,
what's your heat tolerance?
Well, I mean, the gravity feed, the original design that we did, I mean, it was designed for low and slow cooking. I mean, 275 to 300 will not hurt it as well, you know, like you can do your chicken and ribs. With the 12-gauge, the changes we made with the 12-gauge and stuff like that, I mean, I've seen guys cooking on them at 350 and everything was fine. So those things, you know, from 200 to 350 is a good range for them.
Okay. Now, Scott, explain a little bit about the one you're cooking on.
Well, I mean, we're the same as far as the metal goes. I'm 12-gauge inside and I'm 14 outside. It does have a tubular frame. And our water pan is it's 20 inches off of our off a coal and firebox. And then you have a baffle that actually flows the smoke around. You only allow in about 3 inches of smoke through an inch and a quarter gap on that on the water cookers. And I mean, the 500s are just they took off of the sales on them lately. It's been great. Got a lot of caterers and vendors using them. Quite a few competitors out there now. Sometimes it's tough competing against yourself, as you know, but we've had good results out of them. It's a good unit all the way around, but as far as holding temperature, I mean, I come home sometime on a 2 or 3 hour drive and my cooker's sitting at 250. It's fair.
So basically you could cook a competition on the way to another one.
On the way,
yeah,
you're
sure.
Right. I mean, I arrive home at the temperature most of you guys cook at all night.
That's it. When I see like 350, 375, it just looks like it's just going to be glowing red all the way around. I mean, that's just my mindset set on that because, you know, I am a low and slow cooker. I always have been, and not going to say I always will, but, you know, it depends on the times. But
end of the day, we have the same product. I mean, Tim's cooked with me 2 or 3 times now in less than a year. I mean, if you know when to pan it and what you're looking for, I mean, my meat's the same color as yours when you pan it. You know, everything pretty much flows the exact same thing you're doing. It's just a lot quicker. And, I mean, there's not, at the end of the day, as far as taste of the product, there's not a big taste difference, I don't think. At the end of the day, you still got to put it in a box and turn it in and get the scores you need.
Yeah, you got to please those six idiots at the table sitting there thinking they know everything about them.
They're not. They can't all be idiots. We can't bash them judges. They'll shoot us.
Oh, yeah, I know. They know, you know, how we usually feel. And this has been a big ongoing discussion at a lot of these competitions I go to. I hadn't seen y'all in a little while, but I had a of course, I had a judge cook with me at Banjo-Bikue up here in Evans, and I got a reserve grand up there. And I had one cook with me and Dillard. Didn't do that well up there, but, you know, it was okay. And then I had two of them cooking with me at Franklin. It was a husband and wife. And those two right there, I'm going to tell you what, they were the most entertaining couple I've ever been around. You know, they come up, they all look, you know, they all look proper and, you know, kind of upper middle class, and, you know, you don't know how to take them. But, boy, when they got in there, she did the boxes for me. He trimmed the butts. You know, I let him trim some butts. Everybody said, oh, I would love to do that. Hell, I took third place in butts in there. Why not? You know, let him get in there and see what we do for a living. And, you know what we go through. And most judges would tell you when they get done, they'll flat out tell you, Steve, he done 30-something contests. And he said, I really thought I had a clue on what y'all go through. He said, I really don't have an effing clue on what y'all go through. He said, it's just unbelievable the amount of time, the amount of expense, and just all the processes we have to go through to turn out the pieces of meat that we do for the judges. And, you know, my big thing is I wish judges would cook with teams. Most teams would, you know, like them to be there. Some just sit back and watch, and others, well, get your hands on in and get dirty. But they will wash, they clean, they'll do anything you want them to. These two were great, and but you know, I think in my mind and a lot of other people's minds, you get a judge to cook with you, you know, between their after the fifth one, after the 15th, and after the 25th, they're better understanding of what you go through, and you know they're not going to be so easy to give out sevens and sixes and fives anymore, you know, and that's what really kills us is you get nines and eights, and all of a sudden you get a six, and there's no comment card. Well, why not? You know, tell us why you didn't like it. We're trying to cook you the best barbecue we can. You know, if you don't like it, tell us. And that way, if we see a pattern to this, like it's too much salt or too much heat, you know, we can back off of it. But, you know, if we don't know, you know, it's kind of hard for us to kind of read people's minds on what's going on at the judging table. So
I agree. That's a good point. I mean, I agree. If the judges had the right comment cards, the way I was told by some reps and some other master judges, if they had to write them, if they gave below a seven, they never would give below a seven. And if they, you know, if they don't have to write them or it's the judge's choice, and there's judges that do and judges that don't. And I've been lucky enough to have two or three guys go through the masters with me. And I've got a judge still currently booked for me. He's part of my team now. And there's times when those scores come in and he'll scratch his head and I say, now you know how we feel like here. He's cooked two or three comps in a row lately with me, and he'll scratch his head and he'll say, no way that's a seven or no way that's a six. I took him up to Maine, they drew some fives that's up there, and it was just unheard of. I mean, and until they come out and do what you've done with the two or three sets you've had, I mean, that's they realize. And once they realize, I think they're better judges.
I do, too. I mean, give them an understanding, and see, we'll get feedback from them, too. You know, the judges up there that I had, the two that I had up there this past weekend was, you know, they'd probably done about 12 to 15 apiece, and they were tasting all the food, and, you know, they tasted my chicken, and they said, man, that is the best chicken that I've ever eaten in the competition. I'm not lying. That's the best chicken. Well, it came up 20th. Well, what can you do? I mean, and when they saw the scores, they were just like astounded that, good Lord, I saw you score. I said, well, welcome to my world. So, you know, we have to fill a little comment thing on them. I said, so now it's my turn to get you. So
we had that same conversation this weekend, Jim.
Did you?
About the judges and stuff. I agree 100%. I think all certified judges at a certain time frame in their career, I think it should be mandatory for them to cook with a team so they know exactly what has to go on.
But, you know, and they really won't get in the way if you don't want them to, you know, especially with the smokers that they have. Most of the teams out there, you know, all the timelines and everything, you tell the judges when to be there, when not to be there. You know, you don't have to show them all your secrets and stuff, but, you know, you can kind of you know, like me with butts, you know, there's only so much trimming you can do on a butt. So, right. You know, if you cook two or three or four, I usually cook four because I'll bring some back to my wife's sandwich shop. You know, I'll do one or two perfect, and I say, all right, y'all do the other two. You know, let'll build a box as well, see how what a pain in the butt that is. You know, I won't let them do my chicken, but, you know, I'll tell them what all I did and how you go around getting it and all that stuff. And, you know, it's not just a one-stop shop when you go pick your meat up. I mean, I've got, pretty honestly, I got four different places I get my meat from. So, you know, this thing can start on Thursday morning. It starts on Monday or Tuesday, you know. Then you got to clean your pit and everything else. You know, it's just, you know, like I said, we've had a lot of discussion on those Friday and Thursday and Friday night dinners on all this, and every team that I've talked to has been on board. And I wish, you know, the KCBS judging would get on board too. And even the judges are on board. You know, I talked to a buddy of mine, he's a judge, and he's done about eight or nine. And he said, real and truthfully, it took me five or six contests to kind of figure out the flavor profile everybody was looking for. You know, kind of getting that in that valley, because he was way out here. And, you know, he was thinking everything was great. Then he'd have some more. To, oh, that's better. Well, you know, he'd already given these people like knives. He said, well, what can I give these? So, you know, for him, it took him five or six contests to really realize what really good barbecue was. You know, even the so-so barbecue in competition is a hell of a lot better than what you can get out there in the real world for the most part. So that's all he had to judge it by. But, you know, if you get them in there, at, say, like after their fifth contest, and, you know, cook with a team who's done several contests, you know, then they're going to really know what good barbecue is, what the plating's going to look like, you know, everything else. So, you know, puts everybody on the same page. And I think you're going to see scores go up. Another idea that I had, I don't know if Case Best will ever do it, and I thought it would be, since there are so many ties in barbecue these days, everything's so close, let's go to a .5 scoring. 7.5, 8.5, up to 9s. And I guarantee you that's going to cut out a lot of this tying, and it's also going to make the scoring a lot tighter. So, I mean, that's my opinion. I know FBA does it every tenth of a point. I think that's a little too extreme, but I think if KCBS would do a half a point, it's not really going to matter in their factor. You know, if they go half a point, I think you're going to see a lot more teams, you know, not going to have ties, and they're going to be a lot tighter. Scores will probably go up, too. So, but like I said,
yeah, you'd have to do a lot of pitching with KCBS to get that done. I mean, this, and the judges are required to cook in order to get a master's, and, you know, most any of them that are masters supposedly have to cook with a team, but the scoring system, I mean, that's something that, as cooks, I mean, we can make recommendations, but I don't know, they've built this program, and they've built the sanctioning body that we have, and to go in, and I know a lot of times changes for the better, but that would be be tough for them, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, I know that judges would welcome it. You know, a lot of judges are afraid to ask teams to cook with them. You know, it doesn't hurt to ask them, but, you know, there's certain contests where you really don't want to judge at. I really didn't want one at Banjo-Bacu, but this guy, he was on me after the last one and all this other stuff, and he lived not too far from me. And Jan was vending, so I'm like, well, you know what, that'd give me some help in the trailer. You know, we can separate it. Well, she can vend, and I can concentrate on you know, the competition. And it worked out very well for us. I mean, he was over there helping us hang signs. He was warming meat up for Jan to vend. I mean, anything we needed him to do, I mean, we worked his butt off. But he enjoyed it. But then when he got the scoring sheets back, he looked at it, it was like Chinese arithmetic to him. He's like, well, how does this work? You know, two or three other judges came, but I'd never seen a scorecard, never seen how it's factored in and all sorts of stuff, how they get the scores where they are. They'd never seen that. I mean, it was just light of them. And I'm thinking, you know, if these judges had a little bit more insight into how everything's panned out in the end, you know, how tight everything can be, like I said, I think it'll even out a little bit more, too. You know, like I said, I'd love for judges to cook with me because I'd like to pick their brains and see what they look for. You know, if you're not placing in a meat category or whatever, and you come up and say, well, it might be a little salty or whatever, hell, I'll back off on the salt, you know, back off on this or that or the heat or whatever. But, you know, the cooks, you know, we really like a little bit of input on, you know, what we're doing right. So, like I said, but with these offset smokers, we try to get back on that trail. With these offset smokers, I mean, it's, you know, from what I've noticed from the little time I've been cooking on, like I was telling Tim, you know, I like the temperature in them and how well they hold the heat and everything.
What offset are you talking about, Jim?
He's talking about gravity fed.
Oh. I'm sorry. Fed. Y'all don't build offsets. I get that in my brain sometimes because I think about my old tank. But like I said, the good thing about these gravity feds, you're self-contained. You know, you can mount them on the back of a trailer. You can roll them in, roll them out. I know y'all trying to keep the weight down on them, which is really good. Tim, on your new one, did you have to do a lot more modifications on that, or is it something you're just trying?
It was not a lot of different modifications. It was a different design on the box. Of course, the firebox is on the side instead of the back, but it's basically the same design of how the chute comes down at a 45-degree angle inside and where my smokestack's positioned. I ran the cooker, and once I got it done, I ran it, and, you know, I had a pretty good difference in temperature, but I figured out, where the chute came up is where the temperature was the hottest. So I actually put another piece of metal in there, another baffle to direct some heat around, and I got it up within 4 to 5 degrees difference from side to side.
So that's good enough.
Yeah, that's, you know, I can live with 4 to 5 degrees. That's, it's like you said earlier, you know, if you want to speed something up a little bit, you got a little bit of extra temperature, you can slide it over closer to it.
Right, and, you know, even that 4 to 5 degrees over 3 or 4 hours, I mean, that makes a big difference on the piece of meat. You know,
right.
It depends, like I said, especially with the butt, you put the blade bone towards that side and your money muscle towards the middle, and, you know, you'll have a good even cooking. I guess the other thing is, now when you smoke with your wood, I mean, I'll let everybody know with these gravity-fed smokers, I'm not too sure how Scott fits because I've only seen his once. I don't think his is really gravity-fed. I don't know. But you know, when you're doing your smoke, people want to like, well, where do you put the wood and everything? Well, it's got a, you know, when the charcoal comes down the chute, which is kind of an octagon-style chute, it's got a big, thick plate down at the bottom with some big holes in it. What happens is that's where your heat is. Well, up underneath there you have an ash pan, and it's usually about 2 inches deep and, you know, 13, 14 inches wide by about 8 or 9 inches deep. But what you want to do is you either put you some little mini logs in there or you put you some nice chunks in there and shake the grate a little bit. And what happens is you get a lot of that hot ash down there and it begins to smoke. Well, the good thing about that is your heat's up above it for the most part. So it's not going to really flare up unless you open the back of the fire door up on the back. But that allows for, that's designed that way so you can get a good even smoke without the wood burning up?
Yes, sir. And that's the same thing I do. I do not use the mini logs. I actually use chunks, which, you know, you get chunks and all different flavored wood. I like peach, I like apple, and I like cherry. So that's exactly you can put your chunks right in the ash pan, hot ash will drop down on it, and it'll sit there and start smoking and get as much smoke flavor as you want.
Well, I know I don't do it, and I don't know too many people that do, but using these gravity-fed smokers, I don't have to worry about wetting my wood down thinking it's going to flare up because, you know, you've got enough heat in there to keep it smoldering, but it's not enough air in there to really make it flare up. Is that right?
That's correct.
So you get,
I do not soak my wood either.
Well, I've heard some people do it, and they kind of got a, you know, like a bitter taste in their meat once or twice when they did. And it depends on what kind of wood you use. I like pecan and apple, and I'll throw some cherry in there on some of my bigger pieces of meat. But you know, it's really nice not having to worry about that aspect. You know, you just pull it out of the bag, or, you know, you go in your backyard, cut your limb off a pecan tree, cut up in hockey pucks, and throw them in there, you know. And
sure.
I don't know what the normal burn rate is on them. I'll put a couple chunks of each in about, you know, before I go to bed, and Then when I wake up, I throw a couple more chunks in there at, you know, 3:30 in the morning and do the same thing at around 8 or 9. And that usually takes, I mean, you could easily get by with, you know, 8 or 10 chunks, depending on what kind of wood you want, to do your whole cook. So you don't have to worry about a lot of firewood. You just take your little bucket of chunks. And that was a big thing with the offset smoker I had was, you know, I had to have a half a bed of firewood in the back of my truck just to even get that thing through a whole cook. And, you know, I think in my opinion, and y'all can say yay or nay, I think in my opinion that a lot of the barbecuers are going more towards these insulated style smokers, whether it be water pan or gravity fed or pellet or something like that. I think a lot of people are getting away from the offset smokers, aren't they?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that as well. You know, the insulation on any cooker out there, the insulation is what holds the temperature and what holds the heat. The more insulation you have, the more temperature you hold inside, basically the less wood, charcoal you're going to burn. Wouldn't you agree with that, Scott?
I would. With insulated, I mean, I burn wood. I probably burn 12 to 15 sticks at a time, you know, and that'll do an entire cook for me. And there again, it's the size of the piece of wood and everything. If I split it all up small and make splinters out of it, it'll burn a little more. But you throw them big logs in, you can do an entire cook on more than 500 feet. You know, for 8 or 10 hours, if you're at a contest with it, power cooking, you can run it 8, 10, 12 sticks for the most part with any brick wood.
Right.
Now, those 500s, are those strictly mounted on trailers, or do they come with wheels, or how are those?
The 500 itself needs to be mounted. I mean, I've never put one on wheels. We make smaller versions of the same cooker that are on wheels. But as far as the actual 500, I mean, it weighs 900 pounds, and it's meant pretty much to set it a rest or to be permanently mounted. It wouldn't. It'd take a few good men to move it. I'll put it that way.
More black.
Yeah. But it's like you said too, Jim. We do make that same cooker that Scott uses, like his 500, in a smaller version. If somebody wants one to mount on wheels and cook the same way.
Now, what I guess the weights on these smokers, what do they generally run? I know, say, you know, 500 is going to be mounted, but the other, the lighter model, what does it run? What does your new style run, and what does the regular TNT run as far as poundage-wise?
The 500, like you said, it's going to be around 900 pounds, and then we've got a smaller version of that that'll come in at around 350 that's an insulated, and I think Tim came out with that TNT that is around 450 pounds, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, and the new one is a little bit lighter. It's a little bit bigger cooker as well, but the way I've done things is, I think it's a little bit lighter than that, but I'll be honest with you, I have not weighed it yet. I'm trying to, you know, get all the cook on it and get everything ready, and if I have to make any more modifications or whatever, before I have a final product. So I will weigh it once I get a final product.
Now, are you going to like since your insulation barrier is not going to be as thick,
that's correct.
Are you going to a more denser insulation in there that handles more heat, or what are you kind of varying towards?
That's what we're looking at, some different types of insulation. On this one, I basically used the same type of insulation in the other ones, and I went with a little bit thinner wall just to try to get some weight out of it and see if it made a difference. And you know, I cooked it here at the house last weekend before last year, and I ran it at 250 for about 12 hours, just letting it rock along. And you could take your hand and touch on everything. It wasn't losing any temperature because of the thinner walls. I cranked it up to 275. I could still lay my hand on it everywhere, other than right next to the firebox in the back. Now, the fire chamber is basically the same. It's full of insulation. It's got the thicker insulation around the actual chute and fire chamber itself. But the actual walls of the cooker is a little bit thinner, and it really, so far, I haven't seen a big difference. I've seen a major difference in it.
Okay. Basically, you're trying to make it more like a NASA then. Trying to make it lighter and more efficient.
Right.
More. So, well, that's good. I mean, y'all offer a lot of a few different varieties of your smokers and stuff. And I know we talked earlier about maybe trying to make one even smaller for like a
right.
backyard. You know, if you're cooking on TNT, you know, sometimes you know you want something small, like maybe just to cook chicken on or something like that.
Right.
You know, so it's an option in case something goes wrong with a guru or something like that. It gives you an option. You've always got a backup there.
Right.
You know, because there's no telling what can happen to grills. I mean, freakish things have happened in the past. And but you know, I know y'all made some new modifications to the grill, and I like it. Like it does, the wheels a little wider stance. It's a little shorter than what I'm used to. But, you know, to me, rolling it in on all my trailer and even on concrete is a whole lot easier than what the other one was as far as turning. And so, you know, almost kind of a little top heavy. This one actually is kind of got a lower center of gravity, and I really like the way everything's done. I've had quite a few people in North Carolina come up and look at it and, you know, ask a lot about it, and I'll go through the whole thing on them, you know, on the whole process of cooking on them and stuff. And, you know, I do pretty well in North Carolina for the most part as far as competing, and I think that kind of adds to it. So, you know, hopefully y'all get some sales from some people up in North Carolina. I'm fixing to start making a run into South Carolina, and I've got some SBN people that are really interested in looking at these smokers. You know, the biggest thing, see one of these smokers, they say, oh, that's, you know, $4,500, $4,800. You know, and what do y'all generally sell that MyTNT for people out there?
25.
So, yeah, so anywhere from $2,500, $2,800, you get a really good smoker. It's cheaper than a Lang. Holds almost as much meat as the Lang, you know, and these smokers will allow you to get sleep all night. I mean, I do several cooks on mine here at the house. You know, I'll put the butts on at 10 o'clock. I'll go to bed. I get up at 7 o'clock and wrap them up, throw them on there, come home at lunch, and they're done. I mean, I've got that time now perfect. So, you know, and rest assured, with the guru on there, it will hold temperature steady, and you fill that shoot up with lump charcoal, preferably the briquette style. It'll burn for, you know, 16, 18 hours.
That's right.
So, you know, which is really good. And like Scott said, even after the cooks, I've noticed, you know, even if I'm cooking at 265, 270 in the end with my chicken or my ribs, you know, even when you unplug it, you shut everything off, it's still holding temperature for, hell, 4, 5, 6 hours afterwards. So, you know, which tells you, you know, the insulation on it is really, really good. I usually have to crack my door to try to cool it down a little quicker. But, you know, I like the fact that, you know, it heats up pretty quick, but then it holds temperature so much, and which is more fuel efficient on charcoal and whatever else you're using. We've got another caller in, 706-616-9861. Who's this?
This is Bo from Georgia Boys.
How you doing, Bo?
All right, buddy. How you doing?
I hadn't talked to you in a little while, so how you been getting along?
Doing good. How y'all doing, Scott and Tim?
Good, man. Good.
Y'all ready for KSL?
Yes, sir. Wish
I
was
am. Long. I'm ready. I got tuned up. I went through two comps with no calls. I got shut out, and I got tuned up this past week. Tim helped me out and gave me some pointers, and he got me back on track, I hope.
Yeah, we got the latest and the greatest of the TNT, so we're looking forward to bringing it up there. Like for everybody to come by and take a look at it.
You're going to bring the new black one, the gloss one?
Yes, bringing the new one.
All right.
Good, good. Has it been cooking good for you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, love it. You just you set it and forget it. Like y'all said, set it and go to bed.
Maybe that might need to be our new slogan, Scott. Just set it and forget it.
Ron goes, none took it.
Yeah, that's Bo just got one of the new models like what I've got, and Don's got an older style like what I've got also. And y'all bringing both of them up to Kennesaw or just one, Bo?
No, we're bringing both.
I kind of had a feeling it makes it a lot easier, doesn't it?
A lot easier, yeah. Looking forward to both of them.
Well, we're looking for big things for TNT and Southern Q Smokers this year. And like I said, the more teams that have them, the more teams that are going to win with them. If I'm not mistaken, Curly Tails has one. I'm going to be competing against him up in Greer this weekend. Chris Palmer from Ultimate Tailgaters bought one. And he's cooked on it several times. He's done pretty well on it. Absolutely loves it. He had a 64 Lang, and now he forgot what the name of his Lang smoker is. He does a lot of catering and stuff, and he absolutely loves that TNT. He's like, where has this been all my life? And another little note for these TNT smokers out there is Chris and I have both qualified to go out to the World Food Championships out in Las Vegas, Nevada in November. And so you may be seeing a couple TNT smokers out there on the big screen cooking against some of these big boys from around the country. So we're looking to put TNT on the map. And I know Tim has got to do what?
I said that'd be great. On Curly Tails, Anthony, he actually built his own cooker. All I done is mounted it for him. He did buy a trailer from us. That's not a Southern Q. Anthony actually built his own and done a good job with it.
Okay, so I have to whoop up on him this weekend, and maybe he'll go get one.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. Maybe he wish he had one.
There you go. Well, I know quite a few teams that wish they had one. Big thing is that they think the cost, an arm and a leg, and as far as a high-quality competition cooker, you're not going to find a better one on the market for that price. I mean, trust me, my wife gets mad at me because I look around, I keep kind of up to date on all this stuff going on, and it's like, when I found out, from Don, actually, from Georgia Boys, Bo's teammate, about these things, I talked to Tim, I think I even talked to Scott up there, and I know I talked to him about a trailer up in Tryon, but when they were up there at the GBC up in Young Harris, I mean, I talked to Tim and everything about him and going over him, and it kind of sold me at him. He was actually cooking, I think he was cooking your chicken, competition chicken on there when I came by.
Right.
And, he was telling me the ins and outs about these things, and there's really not that much learned. There's really not a whole lot of learning curve in these. Just get you a couple practice cooks on your belt. And I'm going to tell you what, you're gonna turn out some quality meat, competition grade easy, even just doing it in your backyard. I mean, you look at what a lamb costs, $3,600. And like I said, this one's so much easier. You don't have to worry about buying loads of firewood. Trust me, I sell it. But, it's a whole lot better to go just get you a couple bags of chunks or cut your little hockey pucks up yourself. And, it's so much easier. I got a motto, I'd rather work smarter than harder. And that's the same way about these smokers. I mean, I'd rather cook smarter than harder. I want that sleep at night. Scott, it's a normal day for him. He gets his meat down in about 3.5-4 hours. He's done for the day. He go drink him a couple cold ones, wait on awards.
Well, it took a lot of cooking to get that one perfected. And, I got lucky, and I designed that cooker a couple of years ago. Tim actually helped through the very first one we built. And that cooker's been just unreal. It does everything that it's supposed to do, and it's like a racehorse or a hunting dog. It knows when it's in the field, and they're just amazing cookers. And everybody that cooks on them are the same way with that. And I do get a little more sleep, but I probably don't get as much as y'all, because y'all get sleep later than me.
We can get ours in spurts. But not anything else, it's something you get used to. On competition day, for me, I go to bed about 10:30. I wake up at 3:30. I'm up for maybe about an hour or so, and then I'm back to bed till 5:30, 6 o'clock. And the only reason why I get up thinking is to either prep some other meat or to just double check and make sure everything's going fine. It's just a habit I've gotten into, but I still get, 6-7 hours of sleep, and to compete and get that much sleep is, really, really good. I know, now, Bo, you and Don are pretty much about on the same schedule, aren't you?
Yeah, we put the meat on about 9 o'clock, 2:20. Wake up, 3:30, check everything, wrap it, and go back to bed.
It's amazing how many people walk around his company, how many people's up around 3:30.
Yeah.
You're right. There are lots.
I mean, I'll go take a walk around, you know, if I'm kind of waiting 30 minutes to do something. Now I'll walk around the site and stuff, and I guarantee over half the crowd's up around then, you know, doing one thing or another, you know, just checking or, you know, like I said, with the offset smokers, they're putting another load of wood in there. But, you know, Scott likes to show up at the crack of dawn.
I get up at 3:30, but usually I'm running into the urinal next day of Halloween.
So, but, you know, it's amazing, though. These cookers are very versatile. Like I said, you can cook at 220 like me and Bo do. Well, you can cook at, you know, 350 like Scott. You know, Tim's anywhere from 250 to 275. You know, when I did my cook up in Dillard, my guru actually had a judge help him. My temperature probe got pulled off my grate, and it was actually wedged between the door and the hinge in the seal. And I didn't realize it, but, you know, my ribs were burned up. And I'm like, good Lord, this thing's cooking hotter. And it's still saying, like, 230, 240. I couldn't get it hotter. I'm like, something ain't right. But it wasn't until we were packing up and everything, I saw the probe there. I didn't even think about it. And me being a dummy, I didn't even look at the temperature gauge on the front of the smoker, which would have told me different. But, you know, you get used to those gurus, you just keep looking up on top of the smoker, and that's what your temperature is. And so I never did look at my dial, but when I did turn around and look at it, when I shut that door, even after it being off for about an hour and a half, it was still sitting at 310. So it let me know, you know, my ribs wrapped up. They were only in the wrapper for about 45 minutes to an hour at the most. And just something told me just to check one rack. Three racks were burned up pretty good. I had one rack I could turn in. And poor Jeff from WikiQ had three high calls, got 54th in ribs. Here I did cook my worst ribs of the year, flat burned them up, and got 16th. So it just goes to show you never know, you know, with the judge and everything. But like I said, I have had to cook my TNT without a guru. I'd left my gurus up in Dillard, between Dillard and Franklin's cook-off. So I did not have a guru here at the house. So I took a little fan, opened up the ball on the back,
yep,
and put a little bit of air in it. You know, that thing held at 260 degrees for 14 hours. So I mean, held it slap perfect, and I'm like, I couldn't ask for any better. I just put a little fan right there about a foot and a half away from the opening, and I had my redneck guru going on.
I've been there. I've had to do that with mine every now and then. For back in the older days, before I started cooking the insulated, I'd use a fan. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, these people out there listening, you leave your guru, it ain't the end of the world. Put a little fan on it and let it go. All it needs is a little air.
Well, like I said, it all has dual diversity. And, you know, if you've got that type of background, well, you know, all the guru is blowing a little air on it. Well, hell, I got fans. That's the same thing. You know, you can just turn the speed up on the fan or turn it down or whatever, move it a little further away or whatever. I mean, it works pretty much the same way.
Right.
So that's why I went ahead and did that. I mean, that just shows you don't have to have a guru if you don't want to. It's easier and it's more precise, but, you know, like I said, if something happens like that, you can get by with something else. And that's what makes these things so versatile. It's just, you know, with it holding heat and everything, you're not going to lose a whole lot. You know, if something does go wrong with the guru, just, you know, pull it out. Don't think twice about putting the fan back there and let it go. And it'll surprise you how level of temperature it keeps cooking at with just a little bit of air going through there. We got another caller, 636-697. Who's this?
It's Bill Arnold.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Doing pretty good, Darrell. Yeah, I was listening to the guys talking, and they're talking about getting sleep and having to get up once and this and that, and that really caught my eye or ear. And is it a TNT, and do they have a website? Or I got in a little late on this show, Darrell.
Well, this
it is, Bill, it's southernqsmokers.com.
Southern Q Smokers, okay? And that's an insulated pit, and with a, you can attach a guru to it. It sounds like it's got a pretty good insulation package and everything. And I tell you, you know, being a backwoods man, a jambo man, I've had one of everything, you know. But for the money, these things seem like something you'd want to look at, you know. Said it's not too top heavy. It's got a center load of gravity. And, well, I tell you, it's something I'm going to look at. But, yeah, I just thought I'd chime in. I've been listening to your show, and these pits sounds, you know, for the money, for the what they do, sounds like something, you know, we'd look at. So, yeah, I just wanted to go just reach out to you and say, yeah, boys, you got somebody that might be headed your way. That's all.
Well, good.
This is Bill Arnold from Blues Hog. Is this the Blues Hog? Bill.
Yeah.
This guy. Aren't you the Blues Hog guy?
Yep. That'd be me.
Yeah. We use a lot of your products. I'm Jim Berg with Killer Bees. This Monday night barrel. And, you know, we talk all sorts of barbecue and stuff, but, you know, you got a good friend of mine that lives out your way or uses a lot of your products in his classes and stuff. And, well, we always wanted to talk to you, but his name is Rod Gray. You might know him. But Rod's told me a lot about you and everything.
Rod?
Yeah, Rod Gray.
Oh, yeah, I've met him once or twice.
Yeah,
it's nice to know I got a friend anyhow. But no, I tell you, it's a pleasure talking with you, Jim. And, yeah, I'm going to check out your site and everything, take a look at them. I think I've got a stump coming. Go ahead.
I was going to tell you, when you go on the site and look, there's email addresses and phone numbers on there that you can get in touch with me or Scott either.
Okay. I'd be glad to. Hey, I got to get off here, guys. Good talking to you, Daryl, as always. And, Jim, it's a pleasure talking to you. I'll check out your site, buddy. And, like I said, you might have a customer headed your way.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right,
take care.
Let's have a good evening. Uh-huh.
Well, that was definitely a surprise coming up here on my show with Bill Arnold from Blues Hog Barbecue. From what I hear, he's a great guy. He puts out awesome products and everything just like TNT. So, you know, maybe it'll work hand in hand. He's got all the sauces and stuff for it. So, do y'all use any of his products or y'all kind of use your own?
I do. Q and Stew and Ruin, yeah, we do use Blues Hog, and I've been lucky enough to cook right beside Bill two or three times, and he puts out a good product, and he's a good guy. I was beside him in Tupelo, Mississippi, and he reserved behind me in Pelahatchie when I granded last year. But I have my product from him right there on site, and usually if he's out of cook, he'll have stuff with him, so.
Well, I feel very blessed that he honored our presence on my show tonight because I've never talked to him before. And he's kind of an icon. He's an icon in the you know, anybody who cooks barbecue knows who Blues Hog is. And that was his company and everything. And, I mean, for him to call in, hopefully he'll be looking at y'all smokers. He sounded pretty interested in it. And, you know, we'll see what comes. I mean, it's, like I said, it's a very affordable, you know, quality smoker. And, I think if we can get the word out on these gravity fairs that y'all are building, you know, I think it's going to be really good for y'all. Because, like I said, that's why I wanted y'all to come on the show, because I like to put people's products or people's names or whatever they have that I use out on my show, because I'm here all about promoting barbecue. I don't demote it. I promote it. You know, I like people that compete and, you know, use their own products. And, you know, make it available to other teams and everything. They know what kind of edge they have over a lot of the competition. And, you know, y'all are always kind of perfecting different things. And I know with Scott and Tim, like Scott said, you know, he was getting a little haywire in a couple of his categories. And, you know, we all run through that. So, you know, you can't be too big of a man to ask somebody for some help. You know, I kind of correspond with Roger from Pick and Porker some, and even old Bob from Two of Men and a Grill. You know, if you get to know these guys, you know, you can kind of help one another out, but both of y'all are going to be doing very well, you know. And,
you
know,
said,
I think that,
you said a mouthful, Jim. You're exactly right. It's, you know, the barbecue world is, you know, that's what we're here for, promote it and help one another. And believe me, I've had to ask for help many a time. I think we all go through that stage from time to time where we, where, you know, just some things are not working. You know, we need to kind of back up and punt and try something else. And if it wasn't for all of our barbecue brothers out there, you know, we, you know, have people to fall back on.
Well, that's true. You know, I know Don and Bo were having a little rough time, and I'm not saying I'm great or anything, but, you know, I kind of felt their pain, and I've taken a couple classes and stuff. So, you know, I kind of, I think Bo's still on here, but I kind of helped them a little bit, kind of pointed them in the right direction. A couple other people kind of got them in the wrong direction. But I think, you know, with the knowledge that they have now, the notes, and, you know, Don took a class. Bo's stepping in to do a little bit more of the cooking. Last year, he's kind of a novice or a rookie or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, just seeing just Bo transform through last year, really getting involved in it, I think it relieved Don off of some of his. So I think y'all are actually working as a team about 50-50 now, aren't you, Bo?
Yeah. Yeah, we sure are. And, yeah, we appreciate, you know, everybody out there. You can get an inch from anybody and take it a mile. You'll be surprised. Just, you know, a little bit here and there, you know, what will help you.
That's true. I mean, you can, and to help one another out, and, you know, barbecue is a small world, like you said, promote it. And that's what, I mean, Southern Q, especially with this TNT model y'all talked about all that long. I mean, I've really enjoyed it, and I'm glad you asked me to be on the show. And, I mean, this has been great, and everybody out there, I mean, you got people calling in from Kansas City now, and, I mean, that's just awesome. Yeah.
Well,
like I said, we'll have a new one out in Kennesaw. You know, everybody listening, come out and take a look at it.
Well, I mean, we'll be up in Greer with ours. Like I said, Chris has taken his to some South Carolina events, and Chris is actually, on Darrell's own little thing, he's sanctioning tailgating. So, Tim Urescott may have to get ready. Like I said, I would, if it were me, in my opinion, and, you know, they're like everything else, everybody's got one. If you get smaller versions of these, Chris is fixing to push your product in the tailgating league. So with something that's a little more lightweight, they don't have to cook, you know, 150 pounds of meat. They're cooking a lot of little different things in there. I just talked to him today, and, you know, he's going to be promoting it through the National Tailgating League. He's
right.
A huge Carolina Gamecock fan, and he pulls a little trailer to these tailgating events and everything. So he's going to be showcasing your smokers there amongst 30 to 2,000 people, fans. You know, those people, when they taste the food that come off them, they're going to say, what is that? How much did it cost? Where can I get one? I mean, those are going to be the free questions to ask.
Right.
So,
just so you know, Jim, and Ms. Scott's already talked about it several times and got some plans on it. We are going to look at building a smaller one. As you well know, anytime you drop size or shrink something down, and you know, you got to get your airflows right. So it's everything's got to be proportioned from the fire chute to the fire box to the size of the chamber. So, but it is being worked on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, y'all have the means and the manpower and the expertise to nail all that down. And, you know, you look at Lang's, they got little patio models. You look at, you know, Stumps, they have little baby and all sort of stuff. Problem is they blow up. Even the FECs have some smaller ones and stuff. But, you know, y'all have such a really good product, and I really want y'all to, you know, take this to the hill. I mean, I'm 110% behind y'all. I know the Georgia boys are too. Y'all have helped us out tremendously. You got to keep that tenfold. We're going to have to smoke this. And I think the price-conscious teams or the people, you know, they're going to start looking real hard at these. I mean, hell, you got Bill Owen calling in from Kansas City about them. I didn't think anybody in Kansas City ever listened to my daggum show, but, you know, I guess now we do. Anybody ever listened to it, to tell you the truth. I see it on the archives. You know, Killer Bees, the last three shows that I've had have been the highest rated shows on Barbecue Pitmaster since it was developed. So get people like y'all on here. Get quality teams to call in. Getting opinions, you know, knowing what we know about different cookers. And, I mean, it all works together. You know, I was really trying to get Mike Shore from Royal Oak call in, and he's going to be my other guest, but he had to fly out of town today. But he will be back on here, and I'd like to talk to him about their charcoals and stuff like that. And, you know, who knows, especially Georgia boys or even Scott or Tim, you know, might be able to get a sponsorship out of them and, you know, promotes more of their charcoal. I really like their charcoal.
Good.
And
that would be real good if we could, if you get him on board with us and make it the official charcoal of Southern Q. I mean, we've got two or three models, and we could recommend it and have it in our showroom and have it, you know, recommend it to our customers. Hey, we fire up with Royal Oak, and I cooked on it last week, and I'm, you know, I couldn't, I liked it. There's nothing wrong with it, and Tim cooks on a totally different smoker and different charcoal, and so do you, and undoubtedly y'all like it. So it could work in both sides of the world, I believe.
Yeah, like I said, it's just, you know, the whole thing just coming together where you've got one product that really works well with another product that can work with this product or this product. You know, it all kind of ties together. It's the same way as networking with your barbecue buddies out there. You know, it's a family out there, and you know, everybody's got their own little group they kind of hang out in. And, but, you know, in that group, you got to find some really good guys that, you know, everybody, somewhere down the road, if you help somebody, you got to get that back. I mean, it's just
right.
The way it's the world. I mean, yeah, we're fierce competitors out there, but all in all, 95% of the teams out there, they're really good people. And if they're not good people during the week, they are when they're out there because, I mean, I really haven't really met, you know, any big a-holes or anything out there, one or two, but I've been, you know, I've done about maybe 80 contests in my life so far. But most everybody out there will really help you out, give you some pointers. I mean, they're not going to give you your exact secrets and stuff, but, you know, they may give you something like David Buska said, a little golden nugget that gets you pointed in the right direction. Say, hell, if I did that to my meat, that may be what I need. And boom,
right.
Before you know it, you're placing again. So
That's it. I mean, any pointer, it doesn't matter. I mean, you can pay anywhere from $500 to $800 and go to these schools, and any good instructor's going to tell you, hey, I'm going to give you some techniques and give you some advice. And you've got to do a little bit of it on your own. But as far as helping one another out, I mean, a man that's cooking, and like you said, took an 80 contest in 3 years or however long you've been out here with us, it's, you know, you take your own thing and you run it to the way you're cooking and you run it to your flavor profiles the way you want it, and you can go a long way with it.
Yeah, like I said, it just like when Tim went to go cook with you this past weekend, you know, there was a couple things where you had issues. I know chicken was an issue with you at Sam's Club and stuff, and, you know, Tim's an excellent chicken cook, and, you know, just something he may have gave you, it's like, boom, you start to place again. And, you know, when you don't place in the top 10 in every category now, it's kind of hard to win a grand. So, you know, you got to be very, very consistent in your cook. You know, we know you nail brisket every week, and your pork's really good every week, and your ribs are right there every week. And, you know, you always get that one category that just, you know, leads you away from that grand.
Well, no, pork's next for me, Jim. I'm coming to you next, so I got to learn pork. Pork's killing me, too.
I did something a little bit different this week, and I'll tell you one or two things that I did, but, you know, when we get together, I'm not afraid to tell you exactly what I did, but I'd gotten away from my butcher barbecue injection, and I took a second up there in Cornelia against all you Georgia hoo-haws, and I felt pretty good. I said, hey, my pork's coming back. Not so good. It cost me a grand in Lexington. Cost me a top five in Boss Hog. Probably cost me a grand at Banjo-BBQ, but I got two top tens and two 11th place finishes at Banjo-BBQ out of 76 teams, so I can't complain a whole lot.
took reserve grand there. But, you know, a couple of these contests, it was just killing me. Well, I went back to my butcher, I talked to David, went back to my butcher barbecue injection, and did the cooking a little bit longer on my meat, and boom, went up to Franklin, which there's a lot of, you know, good teams up there, and I got third and pork up there. So I'm like, hey, just those couple little things, I think my pork's turning around. We'll know this weekend up in Greer and next weekend at Myrtle Beach. But I think now, after talking to several other teams, and Waylon Wickley, good Q, he's done really good in pork. Just hearing him say what he's done, and, oh, I'm not going to place, and poof, he's up in the top five. A couple times of that, and what he told me he did, you know, started making a little bit of sense. So, you know, one day, if you want to call me tomorrow, Scott, I'll tell you what I did. You can try it. You can see if it's something different than what you're doing or whatever. But like I said, the first time I tried it, it did very good. And it was one of my highest pork scores ever. So, you know, good. Something really around big time in it for me to get that. And it's not like I'm cooking against a lot of different teams. I mean, I used to have the barbecue and Jiggy Piggy and all the Florida guys up there and, you know, a lot of Georgia teams up there and North Carolina teams up there, you know, two of them in a grill, Blue Bloods, Pack of Smokes and Smokehouse Mafia and Bubba and all them were up there. So if maybe the third pork out of that group, I was really excited. I placed 12th overall, but I think my pork's turning the corner. So, you know, like I said, if you want to talk to Ma, I'll tell you what I did. You can try it in Kennesaw if you want to. If you got time to do a practice cook, you can, but it's just a couple little different things just really pulled out. I couldn't do any worse than pork. I mean, I was in 20s and 30s in pork, and I'm like, well, I can't screw it up anymore. So I might as well try it. And I did, and it turned that corner, and I'm hoping that that's what I needed to really turn my corner in pork, because after I looked at my notes up in Cornelia, it's about what I did in Cornelia. I got second. So I'm like, well, you dummy. Why did you change? Why did you – you know, sometimes you get these little ruts, you just kind of fade away from what really, really got you to where you're at. And sometimes you need to ask somebody for some help or to get some direction. And in reality, you probably weren't that far off for the most part, but it's just, you know, one step or one something that you didn't do that the judges like. So, but, you know, like I said, with hopefully people calling in from Kansas City on these smokers, I'm going to tell you what, that was a big surprise with Bill Arnold. And, you know, we've got a big schedule coming up in South Carolina, and I think my North Carolina is about done for the year. But I do have a lot in South Carolina, and I probably won't see y'all. Well, I'll see Scott at regionals up in Nashville, won't I?
Yes, I will be at Sam's regionals in September.
So I'll be coming up there and picking up Don. Me and Don are going to cook that one together. And, you know, we're going to be heading up there, I guess, on Thursday. Probably be when I'm gonna leave anyway. But
I'll probably do the same. I'll head up there Thursday also.
I won't be in no big hurry to get up Thursday, but, you know, maybe we can – I'm going to probably leave – he's probably going to leave his truck at your shop. So, and then in between there and Rome, I'm going to probably leave my trailer there because there's no sense me bringing it all the way back here and taking it right back by your shop. So I may have to find me a little hole to leave it in there for a week anyway.
We got plenty of room, man. Bring it on in.
But, you know, and that's another thing, you know, TNT will be up there doing, we may take two TNTs up there. I don't really know yet. I just got to see what the weight is, you know, on my trailer, dragging it that far. But we're really looking forward to that. And we're going to try to find a way to get some TNTs out there to that World Food Championship. So, since Scott's selling all these trailers and stuff, maybe we can do a demo and tow one out to Las Vegas with a couple of TNTs on the back and do a cook and bring it back.
Well, if there's somebody in Vegas listening right now that's interested in buying a trailer in a Ducker, we can pull it out there and come back bobtail.
Hey, and I'll tell you what, we could give them a competition class.
There you go.
You know, we'll put this out on the radio right now, and I'll only put it out on Facebook. Daryl put it out on Facebook. There is a team out in the Las Vegas area that's willing to purchase a trailer and a TNT smoker from Southern Q Smokers. We can bring it out there for the World Food Championships. We can show you how to cook on it, competition style, and it's already delivered, signed, sealed, and delivered right there.
So that's a challenge for any team out there in Nevada or anywhere else that would like to come out there and purchase one. You know, we can make it happen today. So we've got, what, about 2.5 months to make that happen? So,
yeah, I'd need about a 3-week notice, and we can build them a trailer any way they want it and bring it and deliver it.
So we'll put that on a challenge. I'll get Daryl out there on the airwaves and the other means of getting in touch with people out there. Hell, we're halfway there at Kansas City. So, you know, who knows? couple more shows, we might be able to make it a little bit further west, I hope. But, yeah, that would work out great for a couple teams over here to get out there and compete in this World Food Championship and do Georgia proud. But anyway, so y'all got Kennesaw this week. What's y'all's next one?
I'll be going to the one in Rome, Georgia.
What about you, Scott? I know you're going to do Winder.
Well, I heard today that Winder was actually full. No, I've got I'm helping another partnership that we're sponsoring with a school class the week of Winder, but I'll probably do Pine Bluff and then do our Sam's Regional.
Okay. Bo, y'all got Kennesaw. Now, I know y'all are in Winder, aren't you?
Yeah, Winder and Rome both, yeah.
I won't see probably any of y'all. I had to back out of Winder. As Tim and Scott probably know, and probably Bo, I put aside a little bit of KCS event. I am going after the Southern Barbecue Network Team of the Year on the TNT, and that'd be a big feather in TNT's hat, and since they're gracious enough to supply me with a TNT, the least I could do is go out and win them a Team of the Year in a sanctioned contest body. And I've got one in Myrtle Beach coming up. I've got one in Union, South Carolina coming up. And then the weekend before Sam's Regional, the very next weekend, I've got one in Dorchester, South Carolina. Then I'll get back on some KCBSs. And towards the end of October, I'll either go do Smoking at Speedway or I'll do the banquet in December for SBN. So right now, I don't know how far ahead I am in the points. I've got 1 grand and 3 reserves in SBN within the last year, mostly thanks to the TNT. And if I can get a couple more grands before November 1st, TNT will have their first Team of the Year in a sanctioned body contest. So hopefully we can do that, and what that's going to mean for TNT is when people see what other people are winning on, that's one of the things where, well, hell, I got to get me one of those, you
sure.
know. That's what really kicked me off of that GBC, because a lot of the teams that were in front of me, I was cooking on green eggs, and I'd been looking at them, and I'd talked to Scott, you know, I mean, Tim, I even think I sent a deposit in December for one, and the GBC champions throwdown up there in Young Harris just kind of solidified my decision was that I was the first one that wasn't either on a Jambo or a gravity-fed smoker that placed. And I'm thinking the only thing they had different than I had didn't have was a gravity-fed smoker or a Jambo, an insulated, you know, very well-insulated smoker. So that kind of slid my decision on getting a TNT. It was affordable. And for the money, you can't beat it anywhere. As you heard Bill Arnold out there, you can't beat it anywhere in the country, really and truthfully. For the workmanship and the pride y'all take into building these things, you know, there were some little quirky problems, but y'all took care of them right away and, you know, even took care of them at a damn contest. So, I mean, I was really pleased with that. And, you know, the thing with y'all was y'all didn't just come over and look at it and say, yeah, we can take care of that later. I mean, y'all came over there with your drills, whatever, and y'all took care of, you know, the issues right there on the spot. And that really, you know, that really impressed me that y'all did that for one of your customers, and you did it on the spot. So, I mean, I really appreciate y'all doing that and taking care of it, and it just shows that y'all do stand behind your product. And, you know, you give a good guarantee that, you know, without that, the cooking on them, if there's any problems, we're going to find out before anything. So, you know, it's good to have that kind of network out there
helping you, you know, make these things better. Y'all are doing it from the engineering standpoint, the welding standpoint, the design standpoint. So, you know, with us out there competing on them every week, and, I mean, I cook on mine. If you count both my TNTs, I cook on them three days a week minimum between the cook-offs and our sandwich shop and stuff. But, you know, we've had several people say we have the best barbecue in Augusta. We just don't do a big volume of it, but, you know, everybody comes down and just loves the flavor. I mean, we're selling more and more barbecue each week down there at the sandwich shop. So that has a big thing to do with it, doing that consistent temperature and all the butts get done at the same time. And, you know, they have the same consistent bark to them. And even the briskets that we sell down there, I got people buying briskets off the side right and left. And I just throw them in the TNT and let them rock and roll. So my hat's off to you guys for building these things and making them so affordable for people like us. I do want to thank, while y'all fine, I do have a couple more callers that are calling in. This is another 336 number. Hello?
That's all here.
Hello? Well, he may have been out there.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
You what?
This is Roger. Checking for
you. How you doing, buddy?
I know well. I've been holding for 45 minutes. You got to talk. God almighty, y'all long-winded.
This is Roger from Pickin' Porkers. I'm sure you know all the other gems in this little pocket of information, don't you?
Well, honestly, I have to tell you, no, I have not been listening. I know that Sacred Reads to tell a radio host that. I have been sauteing some shiitake mushrooms right at the moment, and my son heard you say something like hello or whatever it was. But, you know, I got this prime rib resting over here for my glorious birthday.
Yeah, today's Roger's birthday from Pickin' Porkers, and actually I've got Scott from Q and Stew and the Brewing and Tim from TNT Smokers, and I've got Bo from Georgia Boys. So they all want more.
Hey, guys, I hope y'all give me some secrets. God, I might need some now.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
This is Don from Georgia Boys.
What's up, Don? Here, now we got the whole pot in here.
Yeah, I got the whole
pot. From what I understand,
I couldn't.
So you've been listening, Don?
Oh yeah, I just called in to see where that $20 is. You owe me.
So Roger, I'll be seeing you in Myrtle Beach in a week and a half, won't I?
Yeah, and by golly, if you come down there and win both those contests, me and you are going to square off now. You just can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I went in Myrtle Beach last
year. It came down last year. And not only won the KCBS side of this thing, but then he snuck on in there with that Southern Barbecue Network thing and won that too. And I thought, dang, rookie team's coming here and they're winning everything, but the boy's proving himself.
Well, that was kind of a fluke. I just won Greer the weekend before. Had to cook against Tuffy, and guess what? Tuffy will be there again this year. But anyway, I came down there, and I had my green eggs in the Memphis, and we went down there, me and my foreman, Tony, and we ended up with a first in ribs and a third in pork and SBN and won the grand there. Then we had a first in chicken, a first in brisket, a third in ribs, and a sixth in pork in KCBS and won the grand there. So,
well,
I guess,
you did great. I hate to cut you off. I apologize, but you did great. And you won't do it this year, buddy.
I don't think I will either. That's one of them one and done things. You know, that was something I don't think anybody's done before, is win two contests in the same day. But, it was just, like you said, it's one of those waves that you ride. And, it's going to crash, but, ride it while you can, and I did. And, I finished up last year pretty strong. I didn't finish as strong as I wanted to, but, when you go up against all these Georgia teams like Q and Stew and Bruin and Georgia Boys and Barbecue and, all them guys, I mean, hell, you're beating the hell out of one another the whole season. I mean,
you know, it's just, you know, it's anybody's game from week in to week out. I mean, you come down to Georgia and compete a lot. A lot of Georgia teams go up to North Carolina and South Carolina to compete against you. I mean, you compete against a lot of these Georgia boys week in and week out. And, you know, there's some really, really great North Carolina teams. And it's like now you can't really get away from any of the really good teams because, you know, there's going to be some everywhere. You know, this isn't like Kansas where you have five contests in Kansas and four in Missouri and three in Iowa and two in Oklahoma on the same weekend. You know, these are spread out enough. You might have one, two, or three on a weekend, but, hell, you've got, you know, 150 teams, and out of those, you got 50 top 100 teams out here, you know, beating and battling against one another week in and week out. You make one little mistake, and you're, you know, out of the top 10, out of the top 15. So, now, we know you cook on a gravity-fed smoker. We'll try not to mention what kind it is, but you've been cooking on it for a while. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, well, I was thinking that, you know, the way the barbecue's going now is they're going more towards that style of cooker just for the ease of it, you know, smoke smarter, well, not harder.
Depends on what you're looking for in the cooker. You've got to have a moist environment. I think we all will agree with that, and I've got that. But, you know, and I really would love to hear what these other guys have to say. One thing I've learned over the years that since I've been competing is we can all talk smack about rub. We can talk about technique, and technique is so easy. We all know that. And that's the thing that all the beginners understand when they start cooking. But I think the telling tale of making championship barbecue on a consistent basis, I don't mean lucking in there and getting one or two. I think the secret there is having your right sauce, right taste combination, and they kind of roll it one in one. But more importantly, I think it's not when you take it off the grill or the smoker, what do you do to it? And, you know, and this isn't a secret because I don't use it. I have used it. I've scored well, but I don't score consistently well with it, so I don't use it anymore. But smoking guns, gunpowder. Daryl, you may be curling because I don't know if they sponsor you or not, but nonetheless, it's that type of thinking. I'm not saying the product, it's that type of thinking because you're trying to add a little something there at the end that seems they bite into it. Oh, my God, yeah, this is so good. And gunpowder did that in a couple of contests. So I think that's what people have to be thinking about. And that's just my opinion. Guys, chime in. I'd love to hear what you think.
Gunpowder is a finishing product. I mean, I've used it, and I still use it today. It is a finishing product. Maybe Daryl won't cringe on it, but... And it's a good finishing product. And also another one's just plain white salt.
Oh, salt is awesome. It is. Particularly on the bottom side of a rib, for example. We all know that little trick. Because the first thing on your taste buds is the bottom side of the rib, and it's going to smack the salt real quick.
Yep.
Well, you know, the thing, too, is, you know, as you know from your experience last year at Myrtle Beach, we won't go into that. Is
you don't like my retreads up there for ribs?
it looked like a.
Go ahead, tell the story, Tim. Go ahead. It is fine.
I'll just put Roger and Marshall were very happy. They took anything but on Friday night.
No, we won a grand there.
Won a grand there that night on Friday night. And so they really, really enjoyed themselves Friday night, probably a little bit too much. Roger wasn't even entered into the SBN until after that. It was about 10 o'clock at night. He was hopping in somebody's golf cart and didn't know who it was. He's like, just give me a ride back to my spot. I mean, he was getting barring ribs off of people. And so he went to cooking this SBN, no big deal. Well, next morning was a big deal. And he told me that if he'd gotten a call out of the six categories, basically, we had to cook for both of those contests, he said if he got a call, he's going to be laughing all the way to that stage. Because if I'm not mistaken, he lost his fire. He didn't crank it up to about, 7:30 in the morning. And he cooked. God, if you thought you cooked hot and fast, this boy was a Tasmanian devil on his smoker. And he let the ribs get away from me a little bit, and I swear they looked like the tread on my Bobcat. They were black. They probably lasted longer than the tread on my Bobcat. I mean, they were awful. But anyway, he turned some in anyway. But in KCBS now, he got two walks, and I swear to God, he laughed both walks all the way up there. He laughed. And so he was just in hog heaven then. He said, hell, if I got one call, that would have made my day after what I've been through. But anyway, everybody had a really good time. Roger Marsh's had a really, really, really good time. But, you know, made a little easier on me because, you know, Roger is a very formidable competitor. And, you know, I don't like to really win that way. I like everybody to kind of be under game. So, you know, if I win, it's legitimate and stuff. But I think Roger kind of gave me that one.
I would kick your butt all day long if I had a chance, but, you know, being as it is. You know.
but no, it's a really good event down there. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, we've cooked against Roger and Marsha a lot, and they're really, truly good friends of ours. And, you know, and Scott and Tim, you probably go, you know, you do some competition. Well, for me, I'm kind of on the right side of the state. So, you know, I've got friends from Georgia like you and Scott, especially Georgia boys, and a couple other teams I'm really good friends with. But then when I go to South Carolina, North Carolina, I got a group up in North Carolina with Roger and Bob and Blue Bloods and Andrew and Scott and Steve and all them up there, have a really good time. Then I go to South Carolina. You know, I'll see Bill from Chatham. I'll see Qology over there. I'll see Ultimate Tailgaters. You know, some of those teams over there. And, you know, we kind of hang out over there. So it's really good for me because I've got, like, three really big sections of friends that no matter where I go compete, a couple of them's going to be there regardless.
Well, Myrtle Beach is such a great and what – gosh, I hope these guys listening will come. We meet some teams down there. It's such a holiday weekend that they have a hard time getting some getting teams down there because it is a holiday weekend. And we meet some teams down there, folks. So if you're listening and you want to know what to do, come on down. They've got some great funds appropriated for some of the anything buts. I mean, how often do you go out and you have a chance at $1,000 for an anything but contest? We're all used to this $150 or $200 garbage. And these folks, they really put out. And not only that, and you guys in the Midwest or really deep south, if you don't know what beach music is, this is the land of beach music. It is Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and these people really poured on. They got some top-notch bands up there, and the whole weekend is spent. And not only cooking barbecue, but they have great bands, and they have the opportunity for you and your family to spend the week at the beach. And we really need some teams down there. And I say we because I love supporting these groups. These Shriners really bust their butts to make a good contest. You got good power. They've got a cheap entry fee. They've got accessible purses. So, teams listening, if you don't know what you're going to do that weekend, come, please.
Yeah, the Shriners do a lot of SBN events. They get Smithfield to donate a lot of the meat when you do an SBN event. The deal with that is sometimes they'll donate the ribs too, but you cook between 6 and 10 butts. You use whatever you want to use for competition, and whatever. When you're done with that, then you break it up, put it in pans. You either get to serve it to the people coming around, or some of the events they'll have a tent you take into and they'll serve it. So what it is they pay an entry fee to come into these events, but they get to eat free championship barbecue. So, you know, it's us kind of giving back to them, you know, feeding the people that come out to see us and to see the event and everything, which kind of works hand in hand. And, you know, they do some auxiliary things, but, you know, the big thing is, you know, giving you extra butts so you can cook them for the fans. And, you know, that's what SBN is all about. Now, I know that when I went up to Spruce Pine, one of the events up there, one of the auxiliary events for the people to try was chicken wings. Well, I literally bombed in chicken wings. I'm gonna tell you, I really do. I don't know what it is, but I bomb. I know Rogers had good success and smoked this, but I actually called my old buddy Don, who's on the line, and he does really good chicken wings. So
wait a minute. We won chicken wings in Myrtle Beach last year too.
I know you, and I said you do very good chicken wings.
$1,000, might I add. Come on, guys, bring your chicken wing cooking skills to Myrtle Beach. And let's see what happens.
Well, he told me what he does to his chicken wings, Roger. And I was up there. There was 19 teams up there, I guess. Everybody cooked chicken wings. And I took home grand champion in chicken wings. And I'd never placed in the top 10 in my life. Not even in the top 20, I don't think. Even if there's 19 teams, I wouldn't have been in the top 20. But he gave me his system. And that's how, you know, and me and Rogers has had several talks. I don't know if you're listening before then, but, you know, we were talking earlier about how, you know, you get into your groups and stuff, and, you know, if you really talk to some people that you hang out with and stuff, they give you some pointers. You may not be doing something right, or you may need to add this, whatever. And I know me and you've had several conversations on stuff, and I think we've kind of helped each other out a little bit. And, you know, I've helped Don out, so he was helping me out. So, you know, all I'm trying to do is get Scott to tell me what he does on his brisket so I can start cooking from 180 briskets consistently, you know.
That's another reason I called in, see if Scott tell us about the briskets.
Yeah, and see, really, you know, me and Don were up there, and see, I thought, you know, since Bo bought a smoker phone that, you know, the brisket recipe ought to come with it, but, you know, I hadn't heard anything yet. I don't know if Don and Bo are holding back on me or not, but I know
they bought the wrong smoker to get. You can't do that brisket on the other way. We've done tried it.
I'm about ready to start cooking brisket without wrapping it or anything. And I'll tell you, my brisket just really blows when it comes to having a decent crust.
Well,
and
Scott,
so much of this stuff on TV about Christ and all these people in Texas, you know, there's no non-competing people that have retail brisket, but nonetheless, it sounds like an interesting concept. But keep in mind, I never cooked a brisket in my stinking life until 2007 when I started competing. And then in the fourth brisket I ever cooked in my life, we were cooking at Boone's Hall Plantation down in Charleston, South Carolina. And we got a fifth place brisket call. And, you know, I totally freaked out. I said, oh, my God, if these people love my brisket, they're going to absolutely love everything else. Well, as it turns out, we got the seventh chicken call, and that was basically it. But in 2017, we were 12th overall. Now, this is the first contest, so the point I'm trying to get at is that honestly, I'm going to cook this brisket the same way I ever learned to cook brisket in the first place. And this is something I've never admitted, and I'm going to say it right here on Barbecue Superstars. And I'll say it all day long. But when I first started cooking, I had no idea where to turn for advice on crap. I didn't know what a brisket was. I didn't know if I cooked a brisket, do I want to cook it like a medium rare steak, or do I want to do anything? And I ran into online a gentleman by the name of Yogi Bill, Bill Anderson. And he had, and Daryl, this is not so much a plug for him as the truth. I downloaded his little video about competition barbecue secrets. And he had some tips in there, and he had a combination of flavors that really worked with brisket. In the first contest I ever cooked, I took his recipe but changed it to what I had in my refrigerator and pantry at the time, and we got that fifth place call. So I guess the reason I'm bringing that up is that if there's any new teams listening out there and they want to know what in the world they can do to try to be at least competitive or kick up the backyard skills, is to go to people such as Chatham Artillery Barbecue or Pit Bulls Up and Smoke and support these people. They're giving you years of competition experience at a fraction of the cost that it's going to cost you
if you want to compete. And Bill, his little mangy $35 expense at the time was quite invaluable. And I want to mention the fact that the guy's won a few contests since then. Got a good track record. In fact, his track record is better than ours. But the point is that it gave me something concrete to stand on. I didn't have to guesswork. I didn't have to wonder what we have to do. And so that's, oh, that's a big secret. And it's a big ego booster or killer to have to say that, to have to accept advice from somebody else, but that's really the way it came down.
Well, you know, your top teams, even some of the other teams, I mean, I think one time or another, I know Scott's probably, I think I know what class Scott took and everything, but, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, you got other teams out there competing for years, and they've got their skills honed down. Well, by the time you figure out what they're doing, your investment is tenfold of what it would be. Just go ahead and take this class. You know, you can tweak it your own way. You may tweak it for the better or whatever, but, I mean, everybody's going to take what they get out of these classes, whether it be online or, you know, Rod Graves or John Driggs or Byron Mixon or whoever is Rubs. You know, you're going to get something out of them, and it's going to be years of their experience, but it's also going to be, you know, like you said, it takes that learning curve away to where you can get right in and you start getting calls right away using their processes and their secrets and all this other stuff. Well, look, you know.
Let's put this in perspective, really. I've done to date, I think, you know, give or take three or four, I've done 114 contests since I started. We as teams will have an average of $1,000, at least I do, with my motor home gas, with meat. I don't use cheap meat from Food Lion or food, whatever. And I have a minimum of $1,000 invested, so $1,000 I've had invested doing what we're doing since 2007. I've always insisted that we pay our way in whatever we're doing. I don't care to win every contest. I don't care to be number one in the country. I don't care to be on Pit Masters. I don't care to do anything except have a good time and meet good people out there. And so all we ever want to do is meet or the break-even point is at each contest. And so far we've been able to do that pretty decently. But when you talk about the overall expenses to compete versus paying one of these people to give you that information, it's powerful. It's powerful.
Yeah, it's really and truly, it's a no-brainer. Because like I said, you may not do it exactly the way they do it. And, you know, like Tim and Scott are two totally different cookers, but, you know, Tim went out with Scott and, you know, gave him some pointers on hopefully some chicken and it turned out pretty well. It's you know, these things that help you turn that corner. And that's what it's all about. Like you said, you can't go out and expect to win every competition. You're not going to do it in this world. You're going to get on the wave, you're going to ride it, and then it's going to crash, and you're going to have to pick yourself back up and, you know, and start all over again. Everybody goes through some rough periods. It don't matter who you are. It may only last one or two contests, sometimes the last five or six. But you got to realize that you got friends there that can help you, you know, kind of get you going back in the right direction, number one. Number two is, you know, everybody's been there. So, you know, you got to expect it. But like you said, you know, everybody made a promise, most people do, that, you know, if I cannot win enough to support this or do, like, side jobs to support this habit or whatever, then I'm not going to be able to afford to do it because I'm not taking out of my house income to go do, you know, a hobby or expensive hobby or whatever. And like you, I've been fortunate enough to win enough to keep myself going from one contest to another by winning enough to, you know, pay for the contest. And, you know, if I can break even at a contest, I consider that a win. So, you know, but it allows me to go do another one. And, you know, I know everybody that's on this line right now, and Chris, I'm fixing to bring you on too, but I know everybody on this line right now really loves doing this competition barbecue. And it's like once it's like that one golf shot where you hit, you may shoot a 120, but you hit one golf shot where it went in the hole from like 150 yards out. That's what brings you back.
you get that one call when you start beginning to do this, you get that one call, it's going to bring you back. You're going to get the taste of it, and you're like, I got to do this. You know, this
man,
is, this
golf analogy, I'm going to get off of this because my golf game is a hell of a lot worse than my barbecue. But in the meantime, I've got awesome prime rib here and some sautéed mushrooms. It's just going to, oh, gosh, I can't wait to get to them. So you guys take care, be well, and please consider Myrtle Beach this weekend for those that are listening.
Okay. All right, buddy. Take care, Roger. I'll see you down there.
See you, Jim.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
So we've got Chris on the other line, another TNT smoker. Chris is from Ultimate Tailgaters. He won the South Carolina State Championship this year, and he's the other team. I know he's talked to Tim about TNT smokers because he just bought one from him not too long ago. I don't know if Scott's met him or not, but anyway, this is another team that uses a TNT smoker, and he's heading out to the World Food Championships. I saw he's already signed up. So what we're trying to do, Chris, is trying to hook up somebody out there in Vegas that wants to buy a trailer with TNT on it, or two TNTs, and you know, give them a really good deal on delivery.
I like that idea. It's somebody in Las Vegas out there.
So I told him you're going to probably be taking TNTs to a different level as far as doing the you know, the tailgating and everything.
That's right.
So you know, trying to get them on board to you know, get a little smaller one for these tailgating parties and stuff, and you know, go that route with them. So, but, you know, hopefully in the near future they'll get something out there. I know they get very precise with their airflows and everything. It's not just something, like I said in the beginning, it ain't something you weld four walls to, throw a chute in there and a hole in the back and call it good. I mean, these guys, they take it seriously. They engineer everything out to where the flow's good, and, you know, they want to produce a top-quality smoker at an affordable price. And I know you got a good deal on yours. And how do you like cooking on yours? I know Don and Bo love theirs. And Don's wanted to talk me into getting one. And then after, you know, he actually introduced me to Tim. And that's what got my whole ball rolling. And then I think we had talked several Tuesday nights down at Fireside Outdoor Kitchen and Grills about them and stuff. And you were torn between a grill, I mean, a smoker or a trailer.
Right.
I talked you into getting a smoker first.
Bad idea.
And I don't think you've been sorry, have you?
No, I've really enjoyed it so far, Jim. It's a great cooker, smoker, and we know it's going to take a little while. We're going to have to kind of get a little learning curve, but you've been very helpful with that with so far. But quite honestly, it's pretty simple to cook on, really. You've got some certain things you've got to remember. But the thing that I've really bragged on to some of my friends around here, I've just been really amazed how well insulated the cooker is, and it just doesn't take a heck of a lot of charcoal. I do a little part-time catering around here, and cook some briskets and butts and so forth, and have the old TNT cranked up, you know, during the night. And I've just been amazed on when I go out there and got some little, you know, just a little rod that I stick down in there, and I'm like, God, I'm almost thinking that I'm hitting something down in there, but it's just very much charcoal, you know. And I've been really really pleased with that. Obviously, that's a nice aspect. And if you want to look at you know, as far as cost savings, that's a nice cost savings. You know, not burning as much a lot of charcoal, which is good. But it does a great job on front to back and top to bottom, as far as not being a lot of variance in your temperature, and I think that's critical as well. I mean, all cookers, you know, obviously have a little place to maybe they cook a little hotter or not as hot, but this is a well-rounded smoker that is very consistent, and I obviously love all the space that it has in there on those racks. And course, if I had to use one word, it'd probably be sleep. As you know, for me, since I cut my teeth in the barbecue competition world on a Lang Smoker, I chose to, you know, to kind of learn it the old-fashioned way and stick burner and so forth. But I found that obviously, you know, talking with good cooks like yourself and then going out into the competition world and learning that if you're going to be somewhat successful and also, quite honestly, going to enjoy doing this, and you better find something you can get some sleep with. And, man, that's made a big difference that I can, you know, that I don't know what that old commercial was or, you know, infomercial, Ronco or something, you know, set it and leave it. Well, that's pretty much how you do it. You pretty much set it and leave it. And if you want to check on things a little more often, then that's the type of cook you are, that's fine. But, you know, you can pretty much set that thing. And I put my guru up to it, and, you know, it's on autopilot. And it's just done a great job, and I like the aspect of being able to, you know, add the wood in there down there at the smoker box and, you know, get some different, you know, wood flavor, you know, on our foods that we're cooking. So very, very happy about it. And, you know, I'm amazed also how well it maneuvers. Got some heavy gauge. I'm not a real mechanical guy. I don't know the exact type of tires on there, but, man, it's sure people have been amazed that have been around me when we go to push it and how easy it is to move around, even though it is quite the heavy grill being so well insulated. But, man, it sure does move around fairly easy. So it's very excited, and hopefully we can make the TNT family look good out in Las Vegas. We're gonna fire it up out there and see what we can do. So hopefully Las Vegas will remember one team. I don't know if it'll be how many other people will be out there with TNTs, but hopefully they're going to remember this one. So we're excited about it.
Jim, we got two of you guys with TNTs going to Vegas.
Yep. It'd be me and Chris.
What's his team?
The Ultimate Tailgaters. He won the South Carolina.
It wouldn't take much more for me to go to Vegas.
I talked to Tim a little bit earlier, and I was talking to him about that, and I said, yeah, I mentioned something to Scott about that last week or a week before when I talked to him. I just kind of put it in, and he goes, well, you know, I won't be able to qualify, but we'll see what we can do. And Tim told me, well, if you work on it, he said, ain't no telling about Scott. He, you know, if he feels like he needs to be there and wants to be there, he'll go. And I said, well, good, maybe we just need to push him a little bit more and see what happens out there. And, hey, you know, go out there and showcase, you know, a trailer and all that stuff and get some good exposure. I know Bubbecue's going out there and Toolmina Grill and Blue Bloods and Cereal Griller, Smokehouse Mafia, Screaming Night Hog. You know, several teams around here going. So
what
they
week is that?
That's the first week in November. It's November
right.
1st through 4th.
That's correct.
So, you know, it's a two-meet competition on Friday and a two-meet competition on Saturday. And then Sunday is the final table where it's going to probably be about, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around 600 teams between all the winners, between chili, hamburger, sandwiches, sides, chefs, and barbecue. Am I right? Is that the categories? I mean, that's the teams. There's about 100 each, so that's going to be out there. So, you know, they've already got out there what the barbecue competition cooks have to cook. We don't have to cook chicken, but we do have ribs and sauce and pork and brisket. So those four would be the categories for the barbecue teams out there. And so, you know, we're kind of looking forward to it. We're trying to get, you know, some finances up and everything. It's not going to be cheap to go out there. But, you know, we'd like to represent and get some exposure, especially for this side of the country, especially for Georgia or Carolina, wherever you're from. You know, of course, Bubbecue will be out there, so he'll get some exposure. He's going to have his trailer wrapped and everything. But, you know, I'd really like for something, you know, for Southern Q Smokers and TNT to, you know, have a big-ass banner out there or a damn trailer with it on the side of it or something to show that, you know, y'all are supporting us, we're supporting y'all, we're getting your name out. And, hell, we might even have a damn customer in Kansas City after tonight. And, you know, with Bill Arnold, the owner of Blue's Hog, you know, he is a very influential person out in that part of the country. He knows a lot of people. So, you know, like I said, I'm really excited that he called in and everything and was really interested in these smokers and stuff. So, you know, hopefully we can get y'all delivering out in the Midwest. So, you know, keep your hats on, and we'll see about that. But getting back to Chris, you know, he was struggling on his lang over there at some of these competitions and stuff. I mean, he looked like death warmed over come around 11 o'clock, and we ain't gotten the turn in yet. And he's like, well, I didn't get sleep. My lane didn't do this. We didn't do that. And I gave him some oil of charcoal, and it helped him out a little bit. And you know, he kept seeing me walk around at 3:30 in the morning. You know, I think he might have gotten 30 minutes sleep. And, you know, I kind of be bright-eyed bushy-tailed. And he goes, well, how do you get sleep? And so I showed him the smoker and showed him the ins and outs of it. And here he is. He went ahead and bought one and, you know, said, screw it. I've got to get my first order of business is to get sleep at night. He said, I can borrow a trailer.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I told him if he couldn't find one, I got five of them up at my shop he could borrow if he needed one. But, you know, I wanted to make sure, since Tim and Scott took care of me on this and what a great cooker it is, I want to make sure that, you know, even though me and Chris compete against one another, it's one of those things where you got friends you compete against. I really wanted him. He deserved a really good smoker to cook with because he put his dues in. I mean, most people start on offset. But I'm going to tell you what, these gravity-fed smokers, you cannot beat them. I mean, I'm serious. You're going to get your flavor. You're going to hit your marks on your times to within a minute or two. And, I mean, rain does not affect them. Wind does not affect them. Cold does not affect them. So, you know, it's just a very good, you know, anytime it's insulated as well as these things are, the outside elements aren't going to affect them. So, you know, I know Don's been cooking on his for quite a few years, and you agree with me, Don? I mean, you don't want to get me started on this.
I wouldn't take nothing for mine, man. That's the best cooker I've ever cooked on. I started out with stick burners just like everybody else. And it's just the sleep factor. You get to go to sleep at night. That's what I love about it.
Amen. That's one big thing you hear at these contests. People say, oh, I didn't get any sleep. Well, get your Southern Cue. You know, that's the second thing you'll get. The first thing you'll get is some calls. I guarantee you. But, you know, all of us cook on these TNTs. I mean, except Scott, but he cooks on another cooker that they manufacture there at their thing. One day he might go to a TNT, but I doubt it. He's doing very well on what he's got, and if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. And that's what I feel about this TNT was, you know, I was getting outplaced in a lot of these contests by a lot of these people cooking on these gravity-fed smokers. And I just felt like that was – I knew my product was good, but I think that was just going to make my product that much better. And it's brought me up to another level. So, you know, like I said, I appreciate Scott and Tim for giving me the opportunity and – you know, all the guys on the show right now cook on them, and like I said, nobody take anything for them. You won't get them back at that price, I can tell you that. But, you know, it's just a well-built smoker, and if you really believe in something, it's really going to help you out. And, you know, like when Don was telling me about it, you know, Tim and them weren't even in the sponsoring phase then. And so, I mean, we still push these smokers. We weren't even sponsored by them then, and we were still pushing them, but that's the way a lot of these teams are. You find something you like, and it's another barbecue team that's producing and stuff, you want them to succeed, not only in contests, but also, you know, in the livelihood and promoting barbecue and promoting these smokers and promoting anything that, you know, any of your friends have had that you use that you have success with. That's what you got to promote. And, you know, all in day's work, we're one big family, and, you know, all we want to do is see each other succeed. So, you know, on that, you know, we'll pretty much about end the show, but I want to give a shout-out, like I said, to Tim and Scott from Southern Q Smokers. They make the TNT Smokers. They make, was it JOS 500? Is that what it is, Scott?
No, it's Scott. The Southern Q 500. The Southern Q is the SouthernQSmokers.com is our website, and Southern Q is the name of the whole thing. This 500 is the model that I cook on, and the TNT is the model that you cook on. It's just
right.
That's what we call those two that are there. So,
then you got a model half the size of the 500, is that correct?
We do. Or it's our patio model. We do.
Okay.
And more
like
models
this,
to come.
There you go. I know Tim's working on a few models. Preferably that side firebox and everything, which I think is going to be another big seller.
I'd be interested in looking at one of those when you know, the prototypes are done and everything. But, you know, like I said, these guys, they put a lot of time and effort and craftsmanship into these smokers, and you really need to check them out at SouthernQSmokers.com, and you can pull up, it'll have Tim and Scott's phone numbers on them. About every time I call them, they answer their phone, so you're not going to get a recording. So give these guys a call. Scott does trailers also, customized barbecue trailers and vending trailers, top of the line. And, you know, he can finish them out. He can give them to whatever stage you want them. So give them a call on that, too, if y'all looking for a good quality trailer to put your smoker on. They can give you the whole total package. And, guys, it was really great talking to you. And I'll be seeing y'all definitely at, well, I'll see Scott in Nashville, but I'll be seeing all of y'all in Rome.
Appreciate you having us on, Jim.
Well, I appreciate
it.
Thanks for having us on, Jim, and y'all have a good weekend.
Okay, you too. And,
we'll see y'all at Kennesaw, Tim and Scott.
All right,
y'all have
a good buddy.
Y'all have good luck to Kennesaw.
All right, we'll see y'all this weekend, Tim, Scott.
All right, both.
Okay.
Take care.
All right.
We'll see you in Kennesaw.
All right,
buddy. Okay, we got Bo and Don from Georgia Boys still online, good friends of ours. Really like competing with them, hanging out with them. We've done a lot of competition last year together, and we usually do some in the spring, don't do a whole lot in the summer, but then in the fall we kind of see each other about every damn week. So
oh, yeah.
I'll give a big shout-out to them. Really good friends. If you're ever at a contest, go by and see Georgia Boys. They'll be the ones with the two black TNTs out there smoking away. And, guys, I really, really wish y'all a really good luck this weekend. I'm really pulling for y'all. Y'all are the home team. So I'd like for y'all to do very well up there. I know y'all will. And, like I said, I'm glad Bo stepped up to the plate, Don, to kind of take some of the pressure off you. And I think
y'all got
a really good thing working. I really think y'all do.
We got it clicking now. We're all on the same page and everything's going good.
Well, that's where it needs to be. You know, if you're going to have a partner in this, you know, it really needs to be about even. And I know Bo, towards the end of last year, is getting really involved in it. And, you know, I wish y'all the best of luck. And I'll be seeing y'all. I'll be missing y'all in Winder, but I'll be picking y'all back up. I'll be picking you up to go to Nashville. Banjo. There you go. But, you know, I'll be seeing both y'all in Rome and get to see Scott and Tim and a bunch of other people at Rome, too. But I'm really looking forward to that contest, too. Big Jim Stanley putting it on. So I think it's going to be I think it's going to be a wonderful weekend up there. So,
Good luck. Best of luck this weekend, too.
I'll need it, and I know y'all will too. But you know, we usually pull for one another, so we're gonna see how the TNTs do this weekend. We'll be going against some tough competition in two different contests, so we'll see how we do. And like I said, good luck, guys, and you know, be safe.
All right, we appreciate it. Yeah, thank you, Jim, and good luck to you, buddy.
All right, thanks, Bo. We'll see y'all later, Don. I'll talk to you later on, buddy.
Okay,
so Chris, your next competition is going to be, I know you say you're going to try to do one in Aiken, but you might say you might be able to make it down there to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, we're going to try to populate that, Jim. Obviously, we're going to be at the football game Thursday night in the Gamecocks, but we're still trying to see if we can work that out. We can get out of Nashville soon enough and get down to Myrtle Beach. I'd love to, excited about the opportunity to cook a dual event like that with KCBS and SBN. So, and then we got one, the following night and morning here in Aiken, kind of more of a fun event. But it'll probably be about 18-20 cookers. There'll be some pretty good cookers from mainly some SCBA teams, and then there'll be some backyard folks as well. But it's raising money for a good cause, and being born here in Aiken, I like to try to, you know, get out and support these charities. I think it's raising money mainly for United Way, I believe. So we're cooking up all the food we cook there, actually, as part of us participating in the event. And
we're cooking up a bunch of butts and other things, and they're selling barbecue plates the next day on that Monday. So, you know, all the money goes to a good cause, so it's always good to be able to give back to your community, and more if we can do it barbecue-wise, it makes it that much funner for us. So looking forward to doing that. So.
Well, that's the thing about down at Myrtle Beach. If you get a chance, you know, we need a few more KCBS teams. But, you know, as you've done some of these SBNs, you know, Shriners play a big part in Southern Barbecue Network. They play a really huge part. And most of these events are sponsored by Shriners to help them with the hospitals and all that stuff. But the one thing that they do, they do supply you the pork butts too on these competitions, so you don't have to bring any. And they're usually pretty good quality pork butts. I really haven't had any problems with them. Actually, I don't think I can find some that big around here sometimes.
Right.
But with them is, you know, when you get through cooking the meat, you cook anywhere from 6 to 10 butts. You break it up. Like I said, you either serve it to the public or you put it in some pans and they'll have a tent that serves it to the public. But you give them back to the community. And the thing I like about, you know, serving it to the public, as long as it doesn't get away at your KCBS event, is, you know, you get to meet people down there. They want to talk. They want to see your grills. That's when these grills really showcase what they really are, because people don't know what they are, and they're like, ooh, and they get interested in barbecue next thing, or they're competing the next year. And, you know, the whole cycle turns around and around. And, you know, barbecues over the last 10 years has come along, especially in memberships and stuff, tenfold. I mean, it's unbelievable how many teams are out there now, which is really great for the sport. You know, it's more contests, more teams, and more money, and more people to meet. And, you know, 75% of why we go out and do it is just meet friends, keep up with some friends that we have made, and make new ones. And, you know, you want to learn to be the best no matter what. So, you know, that's one reason why, big reason why we do these events. You know, we met y'all on a couple of these events, and, you know, especially through Fireside down there, downtown, who sponsor us. And, you know, we've grown to be really good friends, and, you know, we try to help each other out. And, you know, and that's the name of the game, is helping your neighbor. And,
that's right.
You know, we really value our friendship with y'all. And, like I said, I'd really like to see you down at Myrtle Beach, because I think the style of cooking and everything, like what we did last year, I think y'all do very well down there. And, like I said, besides, you know, in order for that to be a Jack Daniels draw, state championship, we got to have 25 teams, and I think there's like 19 right now. So hopefully in this next week they'll pick up a few more teams, and we'll move on to where we can get a draw in, you know, for the Jack Daniels, so, and for the American Royale. So, you know, it's a doubleheader. And even the winner from this one, from the SBN, will have a free draw into the World Food Championships this year.
That's right.
So if me or Chris win the SBN, guess what? The person behind us gets to go, so, because we're already in. So, but anyway, you know, it's a little added bonus and everything. But like I said, I wish y'all safe travels. I'm going to be competing this weekend and next weekend and the next 9 weekends, to tell you the truth. But I know your Labor Day weekend ain't going to be much of a vacation, because you got a game. And I mean, it kind of is vacation, but, you know, you got a game and then two cook-offs.
That's
actually
right.
Three cook-offs when you figure in SBN and KCBS in the same day. But you know, you've cooked SBNs, you cook KCBS, so you're one of the teams that can figure out, well, you know, I'd put this on, this on, this on, go to sleep, get up, put this and this and this on. And, you know, it's really clockwork. And it's all in how you manage that clockwork. And, you know, you doing some SBNs, you know, that'll fluster some of these KCBS teams. But, you know, when you've done both of them, really, truthfully, Chris, it ain't that big of a deal, you know?
That's right.
You got
having the TNT obviously makes it quite doable now, so that makes it a lot easier, obviously, for us. So,
I agree 100%.
More than likely going to do it. So, I love to, you know, a lot of good teams like yourself and people we got to know, and I like going cooking events where, you know, where a lot of people we know, it makes it a lot of fun, and, you know, like you mentioned, it's a great cause, and in my home state, we like to cook things in South Carolina if we can, and it just sounds like a fun event, though. And just the fact to get to cook two events at one time, I'm just really intrigued by that, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's you know, kind of like you work hard, you play hard.
That's
so,
right.
You know, this is a hobby, and, you know, we really enjoy it. We're passionate about it. And, you know, so, you know, if you get a chance to do that, I mean, you're already there. You know, set your times up a little bit different. You might have to, you know, move a couple things around, but, you know, if it's doable,
help the vent out. You know, they're out there trying to make money for these, you know, a good charity or whatever. 99% of these contests are for charities, local charities. So, you know, help them out when you can. If it's not that much of a trouble, it's not going to throw your game off, then, you know, help them out, whatever you can do.
And, That's right.
So I guess I'll be seeing you down there at Fireside Grills tomorrow night, and we'll talk a little bit further. But, anyways, if I don't get mentioned to you tomorrow night, something happens, and good luck in your contest, and hopefully I'll see you down at Myrtle Beach.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it, buddy. Looking forward to being there.
All right, Chris. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
Buddy, take care, my friend.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, so that was Chris from Ultimate Tailgaters. I do want to give a big shout-out to Royal Oak Charcoal for sponsoring us and giving us quality product. I also want to thank Tim and Scott from TNT, actually Southern Q Smokers. If you want a good quality smoker, southernqsmokers.com. Have their phone numbers, their email addresses, everything you need to know about Southern Q Smokers is on their website. So give one of them a call, get your next smoker, make sure it's a TNT or a Southern Q Smoker. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to Greg McCauley down at Fireside Outdoor Kitchens Grills here in Augusta. I want to thank him for sponsoring us and being a big part of our success and everything, and hopefully we can make him proud. And I also want to give a shout-out to Phoenix Printing, who does all my printing, did the wrap on my trailer. Really nice to Joey Haddon down there to do that. And hopefully we'll make him proud on some of these events. And also Daryl Mast from Barbecue Superstars. If you're not a member, join today. Go to barbecuesuperstars.com, go down to membership, log in, join. It doesn't cost that much money, but that money that you give towards Barbecue Superstars is kind of like a barbecue charity. It's going to go back to some teams to go do some things they hadn't been able to do. And it's a one-time membership. Please join and join today and help the cause. So this is Jim Bird from Killer Bees Barbecue signing out, and we will be on here next Monday night. Thanks for calling in, guys.